It's time for Twit. John C. Dvorak, Rafe Needleman, and Doc Searles and I will talk about brand new Windows 8. Is it an unmitigated disaster? Let's find out next on Twit.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Audio bandwidth for This Week in Tech is provided by the new Winamp for Android, featuring wireless sync and one-click iTunes import. Now with free daily music downloads and full-length CD listening parties. Download it for free at winamp.com/android. Video bandwidth for Twit is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Twit, This Week in Tech, episode 356, recorded June 3rd, 2012, the fifth leg of the stool. This Week in Tech is brought to you by GoToMyPC. Access your work computer from anywhere with GoToMyPC from Citrix. GoToMyPC lets you connect directly to your Office Mac or PC from anywhere, including your iPad and iPhone. Sign up for your free 30-day trial today at GoToMyPC.com. Use the offer code TWIT. And by Gazelle, the easy way to sell your iPhone, iPad, iPod, or Android smartphones from your home or office so you can get the latest versions. Get a risk-free quote good for 30 days at Gazelle.com. And by Stamps.com. Use Stamps.com to buy and print real U.S. postage the instant you need it right from your desk. To get my special offer, go to Stamps.com now, click the radio microphone, and use the offer code TWIT. And by Audible.com. Sign up for the Platinum Plan and get two free books. Visit audible.com/twit2. And don't forget to follow Audible on Twitter. User ID audible_com. It's time for Twit This Week in Tech. This week, a great panel to discuss the news of the day, starting with John C. Dvorak, who is in an unusually feisty mood despite lacking the Beach Boys shirt.
Ah, yes, I know. Well, I was expecting to pick one up while I was here.
Oh, yes.
Somebody had promised me one.
Really? Oh, I was going to give you a whole wardrobe. I also promised you a roast beef sandwich, which I didn't deliver.
Yeah, yes, this is true.
Apparently, I am, in fact, reneging.
I don't really take any of this that seriously.
Good, thank you, because I forgot. And I will, but I will. Remind me, somebody, that I need to get something for John. Would you like a pair of panties? I think
No, I don't
Rafe
need panties. Rafe has a pair?
I'm doing a giveaway.
Rafe Needleman is also here.
I have a pair, but not panties.
Editor-at-large at CNET.com. He also hosts the Reporters Roundtable podcast and did a video on the goodie bag, which we'll find out more about from All Things D, the All Things D conference. I'm glad you were there because you can tell us all about
it. It's a good show.
Yeah, the Tim Cook talk got a lot of attention, but we'll talk about that in a bit. Also here, and I think this is your first time on Twitter, if I'm not wrong, Doc Searles.
It's my first time in video. I've been on it early days, yeah.
It's so great to have you back. Doc.Searles.com. Doc is an internet visionary, one of the three authors of the Clue Train Manifesto now more than 10 years ago. There were four. You, David Weinberger.
Chris Locke and Rick Levine.
Chris Locke.
Rick Levine is the shy one. He's the one who doesn't hog a spotlight, but yeah, there are four of us.
I like Doc because he used to be in radio. That always makes me feel good about somebody. And
you can't get rid of it.
His new book is called The Intention Economy. You want to tell us a little bit about that? What is that?
There it is, right there. Okay. Of course, it looks backwards on my screen. It's from Harvard Business Review Press. I've been hanging out there. It almost reflects. For the last 6 years, I've been hanging out at the Berkman Center at Harvard, where I've been working on a project to encourage development of tools that help customers help themselves, make them independent of sellers that want to trap them and follow them around and the rest of it. Basically trying to improve markets from the customer side rather than from the seller side. And we've got about 40 developers so far doing really good early work, I think. And so the book is partly a report on the work they've been doing and partly the blue sky at the end of the cycle that I see coming. So one of my theories is that, you know, a free customer is more valuable than a captive one. If you listen to business talk to itself, when I say we, I mean business and on the business side, tend to talk about customers as these things that we want to lock in and own and manage and control. And,
look at Apple.
And,
they do everything acquire, they can to lock
you know,
in. Yeah.
You're acquiring customers like they're slaves.
Yeah.
Or cattle. And
churn is the worst thing possible. It's a customer leaving. Oh, my God.
Churn,
right?
And Right, and we've, you know, spend about $18 billion a year on CRM systems, which, by the way, customers have nothing to do with. I mean, they're trapped in those things too. They just basically give you call centers and junk mail. So, right. So you know, how can we control things from our side? If I want to change my address once for all the entities that I deal with, how can I do that? If I want to set my own terms of service, if I want to advertise what I'm looking for without having to go to one site to do it, I can do it across many and respect that the relationships I already have, for example, you know. So let's say I want a certain kind of arcane car. I can do it anonymously with everybody but the outfits that I have an actual relationship with. And I can control that relationship.
Well, you're just a goddamn hippie.
Yeah, you never get over that shit.
This really is in many ways what you predicted with the Clue Train Manifesto, that the internet would really transform consumers and markets.
It wasn't happening fast enough. I mean,
speed it up.
You know, everybody kind of genuflected in the general direction of Clue Train, and I went ahead and did the marketing as usual. Like, hey, markets and conversations. We could talk at people now. You know, we can follow them with cookies and tracking beacons, and then get social with them when they least expect it. And
it's true. You really only hear from a company when you say something bad about them on Twitter, and then they appear magically.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Oh, we care now.
I just went to Italy this week, as a matter of fact. So.
Well, it's like great to have all three of you. It's a big week. There's lots to talk about. And I guess we should probably start with, because I see Rafe using it, the wonderful Windows 8.
It's great.
Consumer preview shipped. You're not thrilled?
It's hard. I'm trying to get excited about it. It's just not happening. I think if I had a tablet, I might be a little less meh. But on a laptop, I mean, obviously the desktop is dead. The laptop is
Would you call it, as this guy here, an unmitigated disaster that could decidedly hurt the company and its future?
Did I say that?
Unmitigated disaster.
I was thinking about it. I was actually driving when I said unmitigated. That's the word I want. It's the only word that makes any sense.
It's a gutsy move. It is a tablet operating system stuck onto a laptop.
Well, that's what, you know.
It's a focus group move.
Well,
what?
I think it's a brave thing for Microsoft to say, look, we're going to cut off the past.
We're going to cut off,
cut off something,
that's for sure.
And we're going to try something completely new. They said we're going to reimagine Windows. They did. You can't deny that. They reimagined it. It's risky. We were talking on Windows Weekly with Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley this week, and they said, I think what a lot of people are saying, which is business will just ignore it, and the next business upgrade will be Windows 7, and they'll stay with that for years.
Well, I was hoping, because I had played with the dev version, that I could hang out in the desktop, and I didn't have to worry about this Metro idiocy. But no matter what you do, it's just going to throw you back into the Metro interface, whether you like it or not. And
it's
then
it keeps bouncing into desktop for me. I try to stay in Metro.
Well, give me your system. I'll have to give you mine. And anyway, the thing that kind of the whole thing is kind of an. By the way, I ran Chrome on the desktop, and it killed the whole system.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I think that was on purpose.
Windows ain't done till Chrome
won't run. Anyway,
that's an old Lotus joke. One of the things that struck me, I don't dislike it. In fact, I think geeks might kind of say, "Well, this is cool. This is different. This is new. This is innovative. They're trying stuff." But it is not. It lacks some way
charm.
It certainly lacks charm.
It has charms. It has on the right-hand side. Those are called charms.
Yes. It has no soul. It's a soulless, cold product that has no feeling.
Windows 7.
Windows 7 is at least got some, you know, modicum of friendliness. This thing is just minimalist, cold, screw you.
From that perspective, it's beautiful.
If you're collecting art.
Well, they call it Metro because it's supposed to be like subway signs. It's supposed to be kind of iconic.
And it is.
No frills. One thing I do like is they've abandoned the skeuomorphism that Apple keeps insisting.
Damn, I was going to use that
word. Apple is sinking into skeuomorphism.
It's non-skeuomorphic.
That's what they've been saying about you,
Leo. Is that
Leo?
How you pronounce it? Say it.
I have no idea.
We have no idea. Yeah. We just like the word.
Yeah.
It means leather stitching on your calendar app or torn off, the remains of torn off calendar
you
pages.
Like it. I've heard another guy talk about this.
It's a ridiculous idea. Apple's gotten more and more into it, by the way, I think Johnny Ive this week implied that he thought it was stupid. The chief designer at Apple doesn't like
it
either.
Good for him.
And I think this is what Microsoft's doing, is they're eliminating those, the frippery. But what it is not is it's not discoverable. There's moves on this. Like if you move the
arrow, there are secret moves that you have to make. And like the desktop is down here in the corner. And the charms are over here in, on this side.
And you got to move the mouse just right.
Yeah, and why would you know this without...
You wouldn't.
And the window... So why is it Metro named after the simplicity of the subway system as you...
Right. There's no map. You need a map. So watch this. Type CMD.
Type it?
Yeah.
Just without doing anything?
Yeah.
CMD. Oh, my goodness.
It launches... There's how you get to a command line is you... Or anything is you type the first few letters and you hit return.
How about format... C. Can you type that and see what happens?
RM-F.
Oh, there's an app directory here.
There's an app.
Well, yeah, see, it's non-discoverable.
It's non-discoverable.
Right.
And
but
I
neither is Apple. Neither is OS X.
Well, at least you have a menu bar which you can
browse.
But
there are a lot of hidden things in Apple that are totally non-discoverable.
I guess so.
And
but the point here is that the learning curve, especially in business, is going to be miserable.
But there are no business apps here. I mean, the Windows, all the apps that run on Metro are the Metro apps. There are things like
news,
full screen travel,
full screen
pictures,
full screen sports, full screen news, full screen messages. Right.
You won't say
the business apps that you want still run under the whole desktop UI. So you've got this weird operating system.
Full screen crap. We're going to abbreviate to FAP.
I mentioned this in my column, and you said it on your other show.
So when you use this, you'll be
fapping? You got a 27-inch screen, and you hit one of these things, and boom, the whole screen's got weather report.
It's fine on a little laptop, but on a giant screen, it is a
It is a tablet operating system.
It's a tablet OS.
Yes.
And they're enforcing it. Now, I've been trying really hard.
I like that logo on the shirt,
by the way. You just got me into this thing, and I don't know how to get back.
Press the Windows. Oh, you don't have a Windows key.
No, you
press your command button.
Function, Command, Y.
No, just Command.
Oh, that did it.
Command always brings you back to the start.
Oh, thank you.
I can help you use this.
Today on Windows Secrets.
I want to like it.
Okay,
and
I
want to give Microsoft a little bit of credit for doing something new and different. But I think I agree with you. This will be an unmitigated disaster because I just think people are going to look at this and go, "What the hell is this?"
Why?
No, it won't be because you'll be able to buy a Windows 8 tablet for $200, which will be way under what you can get a Mac tablet, an Apple tablet for. This is a low end product.
Be worth every penny.
Yeah, exactly.
You can buy the Kindle Fire for $200. Do you want it?
People want the iPad.
It's not different. It's the same. Cheap is cheap. I do have to say there's a debate going on. According to Paul Thurrott, there's a debate going on at Microsoft about whether when you launch this for the first time, you get a movie about how to use it. Mm. And some people do not want to do that, and some people do. Now, Apple did that when they changed the scroll.
Yeah.
They would not let you use OS X Lion until you watched a movie about how scroll works and demonstrated...
How they broke scroll.
Yeah. And demonstrated that... You knew how. You actually had a test.
That should be a rule. Every time you break an operating system, you have to put a blocker video in place that people have to pass before you can use the operating system.
Well, that's why some people say, no, we shouldn't do that. But I think if you don't do that,
it's an admission.
You just load the operating system. Meanwhile, somebody's breaking into the house. You got to get to the computer and call the cops over one of your VoIP lines.
This may be an example of a company.
And you're shot dead.
Not listening to its customers. I don't know. Obviously you don't really care. You're not using Windows.
I don't care. No, I use Linux. And
he doesn't care. He thinks the whole thing's a joke.
But an interesting
joke.
Thing, though, Rafe is right that that Apple is just as obscure about some of that stuff. I actually bought one of those trackpad things as a
those gestures.
Substitute.
Yeah,
it's impossible. I couldn't use it. I mean, you use four fingers for this or three for that, or you wipe left and right, and it's. It was all like everything. Every gesture is cleaning the thing. I mean, that's kind of what it is. And it makes
you have a very clean trackpad.
Yeah, you get a nice clean trackpad. The dust does not settle on it. I gave up and went back to a mouse, and I gave it to my kid.
Yeah. So, but did you? Well, here's the test. Your kid knows how to use it.
Oh, I'm sure he does.
Yeah.
He hasn't gone to it, but he has the Magic Mouse too, and that has some of that same gesturable business on the top with no physical sense of what it's doing.
Why are these companies that are successful companies going down this path?
Because what they're trying to do is really hard. Making something that does all this stuff that is instantly understandable and usable with a common library of commands and gestures is unbelievably difficult. Apple still doesn't have it right. Every time they come up with a new OS, they change the desktop or the spaces or the dashboard or whatever. They keep mixing it up. They still haven't figured it out.
They haven't figured it out.
Microsoft now, this is a 1.0 of a completely new UI paradigm. They're not going to figure it out for years if they ever do. Chrome OS didn't figure it out. They thought they'd have a full screen system. They're like, no, that's not going to work. Now we're going to have Windows and Chrome OS. Android I don't even want to go there. I mean, nobody has figured out how to make this complex stuff work.
Paul Thurrott also points out
worked fine before.
Microsoft has been furiously ripping legacy code out of Windows so that companies that want to make products, for instance, that re-enable the start menu, can't.
Oh, that's fine.
They are so committed to this. By the way, Ashton Kutcher in our audience today. I think you want to say hi to Ashton. And
hey, there he is. Hey, yeah, Ashton, how
nice
you doing?
To see you. They are working so hard. I don't know. I just noticed. They are working so hard not only to change this, but to lock you in. Like, oh, don't let anybody have a tool that will bring it back to the old ways. We're going to strip that code out.
They're getting more like Apple.
It's time for Linux.
It's very Apple-y. It is time for Linux. Is Linux ready?
No, it is, but nobody wants to believe it.
Why need a company to step forward and
what
say
you talking? You've got the command line. If you really want to go down that road, I mean, both OS X and Windows have command lines.
I like using the mouse and moving things around. I like
Dell or Acer or somebody like that needs to step up.
I think
Dell right now, suffering like it is, ought to say, you know what, screw it. We're just going to go with Linux now. We're going to, you know, we'll keep doing the Windows stuff, but we're going to start doing some really cool stuff with Linux, and we can work with Android, too.
Walmart could bring back the Windows PC.
Why not?
Actually,
Photoshop doesn't run on Linux, and that's the problem.
That is a problem. GIMP runs on it, and it's a substitute, but it's not quite as good.
You know, somebody made an interesting point. I wish I could remember where. I probably saw it on Hacker News. That there hasn't been really any new remember, there used to be new OSs? That it wasn't unusual for BOS to come along?
Yeah,
or
well, there's React OS that's been trying to get traction.
So there are new OSs? Or is that a Linux?
No, it's not. It's a clone. It's supposed to run Windows 7 apps. It's called React OS. And they're on 0.3 alpha. And it's been around for, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 years. I don't know how long. And I can't get it to run.
But, well, I tell you, this is not a new OS because it's trying to provide an operating system which is binary compatible with Windows. So
yeah.
That's slavish copy.
Well, it'd be nice to have an OS that runs some of this, that runs Photoshop, for example.
Do you use Photoshop?
Mm-hmm.
For what?
He likes to put monkeys' heads on beautiful women's bodies.
You'll see on Monday.
Oh, no. Okay.
So Monday, take a picture of this man.
I tempted John C.
He'll be on the top of the blog.
Oh, great.
Question my Photoshop usage.
He made a video once of Bill Gates swallowing for 15 minutes.
That was a good one. He did a speech. It was at CES, I believe. And he swallowed so much that I took the whole speech, which was about an hour and 10 minutes, and I just put the swallows. Just swallow after
like
swallow.
A cat with a
hairball. It was like 7 minutes of swallowing. It was actually quite amusing.
It's nice because,
you deserve Linux.
10,000 years ago when I was in radio, we did this with a Ted Kennedy speech because all the Kennedys would go, between every other word. And we cut everything but the uhs, and it sounded like a sheep.
I can see that.
I will. All right, we've just gotten started. The ball has just begun to roll, and already it's careening around like a mad cow disease or something. John C. Dvorak, Rafe Needleman, Doc Searles, Leo Laporte, and go to my PC. Or you could be sitting there, I wouldn't even know it, accessing.
I am. I'm
your
accessing
home computer,
I'm accessing
running Photoshop,
something on the cloud as we speak.
Putting something, exactly.
Called the chat room.
Oh, the chat room. Well, you could do that with GoToMyPC, too. Actually, you know what? An interesting use of GoToMyPC would be as a VPN. You're in an open access spot. You don't know what's going on. You want to have some privacy. Use GoToMyPC to surf to your office computer and then surf to the outside world, and you're completely secure. It's wonderful, unless somebody's spying in your office. That's another matter.
Yes.
GoToMyPC, it is the best remote access solution from Citrix, Mac and PC, and from your iPad and your iPhone, too. Now, that is awesome, to actually run Windows on your iPhone. It's a little weird, I admit, but you can send and receive email, run any program, access all those network resources just as if you were at work. You never have to rush back to work because you forgot something or you need something or they're calling from work. You could do it all on the road, at a hotel, internet cafe, anywhere, from the pool. Day like today, I wish I were doing this from the pool. We should do the show from the pools.
Okay.
I'd like to do that. Love to see you in a Speedo. Mm-hmm. Go to mypc.com.
I wear Speedos.
I bet you do.
Well, they're actually the shoes. And I use it as a
you
gag.
You wear Speedo shoes.
I have a pair of – these aren't them. These are Skechers, another low-end brand. Yeah. So I got these Speedo shoes. I'm wearing Speedos, and it really impresses the girls until I show them that's just the shoes.
I don't think girls like Speedos.
I don't think so either.
Not any girl I met. Well, go to mypc.com, click the try it free button. It's like Brute or Axe. Girls don't like that
Axe.
Stuff either.
Have you ever never mind.
Axed about Axe? Go to mypc.com, click the try it free button, use the offer code TWIT, and you can try it free for 30 days. Just, you know, do me a favor. Try and see. Let me know what you think. Go to my PC. All right, I'm going to stick this here.
We're going to have like 5 commercials today.
Could be. The more, the merrier. I got to pay your salary, John.
Mm.
Did you see...
Speedo deck shoes.
So, first of all, we get the revelation that Stuxnet, which was a virus that kind of took over the world a little bit, was actually created by the United States and Israel. We kind of knew this because it was originally targeted... We suspected it was targeted at the Iranian nuclear plants, nuclear refinement facilities, and it actually was designed to bring down the centrifuges mm-hmm. there. But, I like Joe Biden's quote in this New York Times article, apparently it was modified in some way and it escaped.
It broke through its cage and escaped into the wild. You know what's funny is I just saw Rise of the Planet of the Apes last night. Same thing.
Exactly. Same thing.
Yeah.
We think there was a... This is one of the briefers telling the president, President Obama, we think there was a modification done by the Israelis, and we don't know if we were part of that activity. They don't know?
Blame
They're
the Jews.
Briefing the president?
Typical.
Blame the Jews. Mr. Obama, according to officials in the room, asked a series of questions, fearful that the code could do damage outside the plant. The answers came back in hedged terms. Vice President Biden fumed. It's got to be the Israelis, he said. They went
what are you
too
reading?
Far. New York Times.
Oh, geez. No
New
wonder.
New York Times. So the way they got it in, first of all, the Iranian nuclear refinement plant was air-gapped from the outside world.
Right.
In other words, there's no connection to the outside world.
Right, so they had to figure out a way to get this incredibly advanced engineered virus into a network that was not connected to the rest of the world.
And how did they do that?
They relied on the stupidity and gullibility of human beings. How else would you do it?
Another quote.
Yeah, USB ports, plug me in. Okay.
Exactly. Yeah. Thumb drives turned out to be crucial in spreading the first variants of the computer worm. Quote, it turns out there's always an idiot around who doesn't think much about the thumb drive in their hand.
That's what I said.
That's the quote. The program was originally authorized by George W. Bush. That's how old it is. Obama took office, it was called Olympic Games, Operation Olympic Games.
Yeah.
That's confusing.
Well, it's not that confusing if you think of the fact that the Rockefeller Foundation came out with a report with 5 or 6 different scenarios for the end of the next few years, including a scenario about the Olympic Games, which includes 13,000 people being killed in the stadium by a terrorist attack, which is one of the reasons that the British overmanned it.
So this is why you, in 2012 in London, this is what they're afraid of, and this is why they released Stuxnet?
I'm just saying that this is a kind of interesting of a coincidence.
What was going on in the Bush White House was that you had Vice President Cheney saying, bomb the suckers. Mm-hmm. He really wanted the military option against Iran. He said, they're going nuclear, we got to bomb them.
Yeah, look at McCain was worse.
And apparently, yeah, McCain did too. And bomb Iran.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
But apparently, cooler heads prevailed and said, well, no, cyber warfare.
Now, I'm going to ask a rhetorical question. The National Defense Authorization Act specifically says that if cyber warfare is committed on the United States of America, it's an act of war. So how is this not an act of war, and how come nobody's outraged about this?
It is an act of war.
It's absolutely an act of war.
Yeah, the Chinese have been saying for years, when accused of hacking U.S. computers, you guys do it too. And we said, no, we do. Well, we do, but is
and you know what happened with this attack? Did you get to that part? They actually managed this virus. Actually managed to
it worked
destroy centrifuges.
Better than that,
there were parts everywhere.
Yeah,
I mean,
better
the things
than that.
Shook themselves to pieces because they screwed them up.
It did the other part, which is
awesome.
It scared the Iranian scientists
awesome.
So much they couldn't figure out what was going on.
Right.
So they took working centrifuges out. They took them all out. It did exactly what it was supposed to do.
Right, and they had to send people down into like the centrifuge basement to watch them and have walkie-talkies to talk to the people
Except
in the control
room
because the control room software was saying, oh, everything's fine. Meanwhile, the centrifuges are flying into pieces.
Right. Except for
so
it
cool.
escaped.
Come on,
yeah, so
cool?
Here's the problem. Now, this seems to me...
Except for
this is
it
the,
got out!
And the Russians have already deconstructed the thing, and it seems to me is that what they've done is they've introduced a toolkit because this product has every sort of malware functionality.
Oh, now you're talking about Flamer.
Oh, yeah, I'm talking about Flamer.
We'll get to Flamer.
Flamer is what I keep thinking about.
Yeah, so this was, well, this was just like a test for Flamer.
Yeah, no, Flamer's worse.
So it originally spread via Windows. Why not?
Got out.
Why not?
They all get out.
Why not? And targeted Siemens industrial software and equipment, in particular those centrifuges.
This SCADA, which is...
the SCADA system.
Yeah. These are the industrial systems that control our lights and...
Supervisory control and data acquisition.
Very good.
I'm on Wikipedia.
I didn't know what it was. Reading it right there.
Yeah, right there.
I did a show on it. Anyway, the whole infrastructure is based, obviously, on computer controls. You know, the power systems, transportation, traffic lights.
Right.
You know, once a virus gets in there, it's... and no country is more dependent on computer control of infrastructure than ours. I would think Japan, but apparently I'm wrong. It's us.
So that's the other risk. Is
fun to see the lights going
on. As soon as you
off.
Open this door, we are the ones who could really be in trouble.
Especially once these viruses leak out.
Well, see, this is the problem I have with the Flamer, or Flame.
Flame, yeah.
Which is the, it's a 20 megabyte file.
That's what's amazing.
Yeah, and it's a monster.
It's 20 megabytes.
Yeah, that was written by Microsoft, no doubt about
it. They think it's more than 10, as much as 10 years old, you know.
Yeah, but it's apparently an accumulation of all sorts.
10 years ago, you couldn't transmit 20 megs.
It's got everything in it that you'd want.
It's gotten bigger over time.
Oh, right. Okay, yeah.
So whatever you want is in that code, and so you can send it after anybody, anywhere you want, if you can get a hold of it.
And that one is targeted at...
also Iran.
People, in particular. And what it wakes up when they like open their email and reads their emails and takes pictures from their camera and listens through their microphone.
Each module, there's different modules.
So they're all in there, though.
There's the camera module.
Do you have to pay extra to get the camera module? Or is it like freemium, like a free version and then an upgrade?
So Flamer's size involves the use of many third-party code libraries, prefab modules. By the way, nice feature of Flamer when it installs a system. It installs SQLite.
Oh, that's nice.
So you have a nice database on there because it needs somewhere to store all the passwords and stuff it's collecting. It was written in C and C++, and researchers are pretty convinced it also is governmental. There's nobody, no individual.
Well, as one of the people in the chat room says, it works so well, it can't be made by the government.
It relies on
one person, a right winger.
It uses Lua.
Beatmaster.
A scripting language called Lua, which should like...
That's why it's 20 megabytes.
Well, no, it has a C++ code, and then the Lua is the glue code that chooses which... It's very sophisticated, actually.
I wonder if there's a front end for it. You know what would be cool is you write this thing so it has another module that doesn't, it's not included, but you plug it into this front end, which allows you to program it to do different things. Then you send it out into the wild where it latches onto some system and starts doing its thing.
That's how botnets work.
Well, I know, but I'm talking about something that
command and control.
A botnet, it usually has a centralized location that tells these things what to do on the fly outside. But I'm thinking of taking the actual code and then customizing it with another piece of code.
Well, you're actually right, John, because that's one of the weaknesses of a virus is if you can look at the code and see where these servers are going to be, these command and control servers, you can shut them down. In fact, exactly what Flamer did, it encrypted them, it modified them, it changed them based on date and time. And the authors would know ahead of time what the server was going to be, but there was nowhere that you could look at the code and determine what the server was going to be. So they infected exactly what you're thinking to obscure the source of the command and control botnets. It's very clever.
Yeah, it's nasty work.
So I'm wondering what happened to the person who smuggled the Stuxnet into the Iranian facility. Are they still alive? Did they get tortured? Did
they get
star on the
that.
Wall in right. Langley or what?
If they could find out who it was. If
you know,
he was.
Are they a hero or a joke? It's an interesting
It depends
question.
If he's one of ours or one of theirs.
He's one of them, right? But he's working for the U.S. and Israel.
Right. The Times said the U.S. and Israel relied on engineers, maintenance workers, and others, both spies and unwitting accomplices. But you're right. Somebody's got a hand. Infected U.S.
You could also
somebody's getting their hands cut off or broken or some other thing like
well,
that.
Well, no, I mean, you remember
the Iranian government is going to say, "Oh, it could have been anybody." They're going to go after people
if they could figure it
you
out.
You know, what's his name, the hacker that wrote the book that did social
Mitnick.
He made this interesting idea. Or mention an interesting idea. Nobody has to be responsible. You just leave a disc laying around that says payroll, total, you know, everybody in the company, payroll disc, and then it's spreadsheet not to do confidential.
Right.
And people will plug it in.
That's probably all it took.
How much President Ahmadinejad makes?
Yeah,
it's right there, right on it. And then
Once you put it in, you're screwed.
Right. That's called social engineering.
Social engineering. Or Anna Kournikova photos. That would
so.
Be
is
one.
There? Is there? I mean, it seems as if we should be using every every weapon we can, including cyber warfare, especially this probably saved lives instead of bombing the plant.
Yeah.
Is there something immoral about this, do you think, Doc?
Well, it's, you know, there's something hypocritical about it. You know, this news comes out at a time when other countries in the world are wanting the ITU or the United Nations to take over for ICAN and things like that.
Yeah, that's a nice
and,
one, isn't it? Yeah.
You know, it's sort of it's happening and at the same time, I think maybe as Rafe was saying it earlier, there's a bit of hypocrisy involved here because John was saying that, you know, if we have a rule that says if you're doing a cyber attack on the U.S., it's an act of war. Well, that was an act of war. Obviously, it was an act of war.
Yes.
No act of Congress.
But a gambit. No, saying that cyber terror or cyber warfare is an act of war is a gambit to convince or try to convince enemies that we're not going to do it when in fact we're working on it.
Right.
It's a simple wartime operation. It's all about deceit and misdirection. No, we would never do this.
Right.
I'm reading it.
We've had a policy for now, what, 11 years or 12 years, ever since 9/11, that we're at war with terrorism, which is not a country, it's not a anything, it's just a behavior, which is an interesting thing, too. And there's no precedent for that, as far as I know.
That's tough war to fight. That's more of a... they shouldn't call that a war. They should call, well, it's not
the
a
war on
that's
drugs
a police is, action, you know, that, not a war.
The war
whatever.
On drugs is similar.
Yeah, that worked so well.
Yeah, no, it's a winner.
Yeah. John Perry Barlow declared us losers in that this week, by the way.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. He said, we've lost the war on drugs, now what? Preemptive cyber strikes against perceived national security threats are, according to Nick Harvey of Great Britain, he is somebody important, British Armed Forces Minister, a civilized option. To neutralize potential attacks. I think it is more civilized it's more civilized to break a centrifuge. Now, it might not be so civilized to turn off power to a major city.
Exactly. Or is it civilized to, you know, do a diehard on, the air traffic control system?
Right. You're right. So there are civilized and uncivilized cyber attacks.
That's a dodge.
Going after the centrifuge
war is
big
war.
Deal.
Messy business.
And it is a messy business. What remains disturbing, said Armed Forces Minister, what's his name? Oh, I'm sorry. This is a whole conversation going on. Malaysian Defense Minister Ahmad Zahid Hamidi said a cyber arms race is already underway. He urged members of the Association of Southeast Asian Nations to pool their resources to tackle increasingly complex cyber attacks. What remains disturbing is that cyber warfare need not be waged by state-run organizations. Ah, here's where terrorism comes in, but could be conducted by non-state entities or even individuals.
It's just another kind of weapon.
And like any weapon, it can be run. You can't control.
And it's a weapon that 12-year-old in New Zealand can use.
You can't control terrorists. I mean, they're using weapons that you can't control.
But I mean, this flame, you've weaponized this tool, and it's out there.
Anybody the more out there it is, the more people will be building defenses against it.
Well, that's a good point.
Okay.
I'll quit then.
So we shouldn't wait. We should
stop while you're ahead.
But should we not be doing this? Yes, you're saying we should.
I'm saying that's a ridiculous argument. It's inevitable as you build products that are technologically based, you attack them with technology, and to think that we shouldn't be doing it because it's wrong. War is wrong, and this is a form of war. Let's just stop war.
Just to drive it into complete absurdity, we agree to not use biological weapons. We agree not to use poison gas. So there are some weapons in war that we have kind of universally agreed. They're so devastating, so horrible.
Like nuclear weapons.
Well, we do use nuclear weapons, and we haven't agreed not to, although there is a non-proliferation pact, but that's not exactly the same. It's more like, we'll keep those. You don't need those.
You do have a point. But there are weapons
that are so horrendous we don't.
It's very difficult, I think, to draw the line between cyber and non-cyber, because war is increasingly technological. The weapons are based on machines and technology and computational stuff. So where do you say we're not going to attack those with the things that they're made out of? I don't know how you can possibly.
We had
draw
a
the
visitor
line.
To the studio yesterday who's working on autonomous drones, not for use overseas, but for use here in the United States.
Oh, we'll be droning each other shortly.
Oh yeah,
I can see Oakland getting a few and the hellfire missiles,
and the drone continues.
More. All I have to say on drones, by the way, is let us replace traffic copters with unmanned 4-pound drones. We will save money and lives.
Should they have armaments of any kind?
Yeah. Traffic copters? Absolutely.
I think they should be armed to the... Yeah, and also be bombs in case they...
I think they should be like...
Air-to-service traffic missiles.
It should be like in Spy Hunter. They should be able to drop oil, thumbtacks.
Right.
I like the thumbtacks.
He's speeding. Drop the thumbtacks! We're going to take a break and come back with more on this fabulous episode of This Week in Tech. I'm glad you're here. Actually, before we go to the commercial, let's find out... Because I like to plan ahead. What's going on in the week ahead? We've got Tom Merritt just over there in our newsroom, ready to go. Tom?
Hey, thanks, Leo. Here's a look at some of the things coming up in the week ahead. Busy week for conferences. Tuesday, June 5th, E3 kicks off down in L.A. That runs through June 7th. Most of the press conferences are actually before the kickoff on Sunday and Monday. Also, Computex kicks off and runs through the 9th in Taiwan. Lots of hardware coming out of that, including a bunch of tablets and laptops. Airtime debuts on June 5th as well. That's a new project from the Napster founders. And the Samsung Galaxy Appeal Go phone hits AT&T. Wednesday, June 6th, Google plans to introduce the next dimension of Maps. Might be a way to scoop WWDC if Apple switches off Google Maps. Yeah, also, Intel's first smartphone goes on sale in Europe on Wednesday. And Wednesday, June 6th is World IPv6 Day. Finally, Friday, June 8th, the Southeast Linux Fest in Charlotte, North Carolina takes place. That's a look with the week ahead. Back to you, Leo.
You know, I'd like to say...
Are you speaking of that?
I could say... But, you know, I've decided to stop talking to Tom.
Why?
Because
he's right over there.
No, I'm not going to say anything to him. I've had it.
He likes you.
No, every time I try to have a conversation, he leaves.
He leaves, huh? Yeah. I do want to talk a little bit about E3, what we can expect there. You were at All Things D, Rafe.
Yes.
I'd like to find out more about what you got in the swag bag.
You mean other than the panties?
Well, we didn't talk about the panties on the show.
Oh, yes. So
we could bring that up.
I have a video of it somewhere.
Should we watch that video? All right, let's prepare... Rafe's swag bag video. We'll get to that in a moment. That's called a tease.
D10 swag bag video.
Yeah.
Google everything. It.
They actually, wait a minute. Were you a panelist or you just got it for showing up?
Everybody gets it. It's like going
attendees?
To the Oscars. Yeah.
Well, that's pretty cool.
What was the value?
This year? Not so hot.
You know, you have to declare it on your taxes.
I have to declare the panties on my taxes?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Uh-huh.
Dang. That's going to cost me.
The whole value of the bag.
That's exactly right.
It wasn't this year. Wasn't so hard.
$100, $50, $1,000.
Doesn't CNET have rules about that?
Yeah. Well,
so you gave the swag bag back.
Yeah, you gave it back, and
it's
in
the office.
The panties
I don't
away.
Know what to do with it. I mean, I've got a drop cam. Uh-huh. That's the big deal.
A drop cam.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
That's it.
Uh-huh. We're gonna take a break and come back with more, Mr. Needleman. We shall speak to you next about the swag. But first, a word from Gazelle. Hey, if you've got some stuff in that swag bag you'd like to sell,
right.
Gazelle it. Whether you got an iPhone, an iPod, an iPad, a Samsung, a Galaxy 2S, S2, whatever it is, if it's taken up space in your drawer, some people have gadget drawers. You know, the old gadgets go in a drawer or a closet. There are people who have storage lockers filled. There are hoarders. You know, that stuff's not getting more valuable. In fact, I'm pretty much sure it's never going to gain value. Sell it now while you still can. And Gazelle's the best way to do it. Visit it right now. G-A-Z-E-L-L-E. Just like the antelope, right, that runs across the African veldt. Gazelle.com. If you click the drop-down, you'll see they've actually reduced the things that they buy because they found out most people just want to sell these. iPhones, iPads. Apple TVs, laptops, desktops, displays, Blackberries, HTC, Motorola, Samsung, LG, Android phones, or Nokias. Let's say, all right, let's try. I got a second generation iPad I want to get an offer on. So this is how easy it is. That's one of the things I like about this now, is it's just you click a button. Was it a Verizon or AT&T? It was AT&T. I wonder if the price is different. It's Verizon. $335. Now, here's the deal. They'll send you a check. They'll PayPal you. But little pro tip here. Amazon gift card gets an extra 5%. So that would be my recommendation. G-A-Z-E-L-L-E. Don't sell it. They said don't say that. Why not? I don't know. I like it. I made that up. Gazelle your gadgets today and make a little money on the side. Why pay rent? And by the way, they pay for the shipping. And the quote is good for 30 days. So you can just go and find out what it's worth. You can decide. You got time. It's hard, I know, to let go of those old iPads. Oh, I have such memories. Gazelle@gazelle.com. John's okay. So we're gonna. Do you want to look at the swag? Do we have it on your computer? All right, John. Slanina, which by the way means bacon in Polish. John Slanina, is that Polish? Czech. Is here
is
with.
That, is that a yes or is that Czech?
Yes.
Not Polish. No,
Czech.
Czechoslovakian.
Czech.
Okay.
Let's see the swag bag, or is it swag bag?
It's swag. Swag is not Yiddish.
It's stuff we all get,
or souvenirs, wearables,
I like
and
swag.
Gifts.
I don't think that's where it comes from either way.
You think it's one of these things that sounds like Yiddish but isn't?
It's not Yiddish.
No, it should be swag, but
swag?
It's actually swag.
You got some swag
stuff we all get.
So what'd souvenirs. You get? Where's this thing?
I don't know. Let's
wasn't that
it.
Great?
But
here it is.
Geez.
There's Rafe.
All right. Can't hear what he's saying. Here.
He's just talking. He's
hello, my name is Rafe Dielman. I'm editor-at-large at CNET. I just came back from the off-XD conference.
Ridiculous amounts of swag. Last year, there were two bags full, literally.
Two bags full?
And it's down to one?
Yeah, it's not doing so well this year.
That's a pretty good-sized bag.
It's a lot.
It's mostly air.
Could be because of the economy finally affecting the tech industry.
Am I going to MS3K myself here?
Yes.
That's what's going on.
You should comment on your own video.
Gear in here.
Can you just put our profiles in front of
here? Get to the point, will you? This guy in the video.
I was actually trying to provide context here about why the swag bag is so lame this year compared to last. No bottle of wine.
Overheating a little bit and...
Changeable human figures.
Last year we got
like science.
I agree. Yeah.
That product had to go back. And then, of course, was the HP Weir.
The director's cut. Rafe Nealman.
The director's cut.
He went to D, has one. So let's see what's in here this year. And hopefully its stuff will fare a little bit better. Now, there's less stuff in here than there has been in years past.
Yes, we know. Thanks. Just open the damn bag. Like,
you know, funny thing about doing this video is I actually didn't have a live audience heckling me when I was taping it in my hotel room.
Open the God damn bag. Oh, he's opened it finally.
You get a lovely fleece pullover.
Oh, that's nice. That's attractive.
Yeah. It's just a pullover. Oh, yeah.
That's good. Kara Swisher would look great in that. Doesn't say D on it?
Like why does it say Ethan? Year,
it says Ethan.
Ethan's a guy I interviewed from.
You stole his bag.
No, he was the guy from Yahoo. What's his name? Why did his name pop up there?
But there is, of course, a hoodie.
The guy from Yahoo I interviewed.
I think it'd be funny to just keep pulling
CEO
stuff out.
Everybody here
Ethan Petrosky is the guy who runs the Yahoo Access browser. For some bizarre reason, his name showed up on a swag bag video.
That's odd.
That's very odd. I think that's Kelly's fault back at the ranch.
Very nice, cozy hoodie.
Hoodie. You can't be a CEO if you don't have a hoodie anymore.
There's a Target on it. And I don't know this logo. I probably should.
What is that logo?
I have no idea what that logo is.
There's branding for you right there.
Yeah.
It's the Target.
Something from Oregon.
Target going online.
The D hat.
Oh, please, this is boring.
Throw that crap.
The fun stuff's at the end.
Where's the panties?
They're all the way at the end, and this is like a 5-minute
Now he's embarrassed by it. He introduced the video to us. And
I did not say, please play the video. That was Leo.
Sunglasses from Spotify.
So really, this is
lame.
It's a chance for them to advertise. Yeah.
Paperwork and stuff.
Now, you don't have to give any of this back. This has no value.
No, it's valueless.
A USB key from, who cares?
With Stuxnet on it. Very handy. Yes, idiot. Give this to the idiots at
Reid Hoffman. Reid Hoffman, every time he speaks a D, he gets me in trouble because they're like, you got to cover Reid Hoffman. And I sit down, I'm ready to blog.
He's supposed to be very smart.
He's very smart.
Founder of
LinkedIn. There's very little news that comes out in his talk.
He has a book.
So I'm using that right now to run Windows 8 on my MacBook Air right here.
Parallels is
three people on Windows machines and the rest on Macs.
Yep.
That's just the way the world is going.
I'm sorry, people in the chat room, that this video was not made live for you.
Look, there we are watching it, though.
How come there's not a shadow of a robot?
There we go. That's very good. I like that. See, nice job. Is that Doc? Is that the square one? Is Doc?
I love $10.
It's Max Trollbot. Yeah, it's from Ion. Yeah.
Skull candy.
How do they do that so fast? That's awesome.
Headsets.
We had it lying around.
That's the one thing that was.
Thank you, man.
That's right. Who's the one with the female profile there?
That's Liz. Okay. Liz Lemon.
Let's see. Two things left, one of which is cool.
The only thing of value in here is... Dun-da-da.
Here's the drop cam.
That's a nice thing. We use those.
You know what? I do not like that product.
Why not?
It's a great piece of hardware, but you buy the thing for, I don't know what it is, $100, $150. And then in order to actually use it, you have to subscribe, which is another $100 a year.
I think they have a free...
They have a free thing, but that's why buying the free thing is no good. Yeah, because it doesn't send you alerts or record video
and
stuff like that.
from
the moment you've all been waiting for.
This is pretty suspicious.
What could that be? It looks like jewelry.
I have in the past.
It's very pleased.
You do not have to subscribe to the DropCam. I know that. But it's really much more useful if you do.
True and Company is an online bra retailer. They have a new algorithm, a set of algorithms for helping women find the bras that fit them best without having to go through the measurement process.
Really? So I can just go to the website and find the right bra?
Yeah, you tell it like which bras that you wear, pinch you, and where, and how, what dress size you normally wear.
What is it? True? True Bra?
True and Bra. True and Co.
Something to match the bra you're going to buy from True. There we go.
It's Zappos for brassieres.
Kind of,
I don't think this fits me.
Look, you even wrote an article about that. I know, but you should have. That's why I know so much about it.
Drop me a note because I don't know what to do with them. I'll find out what size they are later on. So
The purple would match my shirt.
That's what you get if you come to the D conference. In addition, of course, to
now Tim.
Boy,
that was
how was that? 15 minutes? What was this?
Tonight. Oh, but I did.
I didn't see you recording any videos Oracle, from the D conference. I'm
Google,
just saying.
Spotify, all over. It's a fast. Nathan Mervold speaking tomorrow.
All right, that's it. Wrap it up.
Good conference.
No more.
Interesting preview.
I thought Tim Cook. Yeah, you can cut this.
Yeah, cut it.
So Rafe, did anybody wear that thing on their head?
I would ask.
I believe that probably about half the guys were wearing that under
the panties on
their
head.
Clothes. Yeah,
Or as a necklace or some other thing. That'd be cool.
Are your breasts equally round all over?
Well, you want to check?
Or is your chest flatter at the top and wider at the bottom?
Manties.
Or if you place three fingers in the center of your chest, your breasts are more than three fingers wide apart.
That's a kung fu move.
You have.
Really?
I'm gonna decide. I want mine. I don't know. That's my shape right there. And then, I didn't even know that's called.
Boobs?
That's called a balconette.
Why not?
What's a balconette?
How would you even know about this site?
I don't.
Rafe,
how would
Needleman.
I know? They pitched me.
Oh, okay.
It was the only preview that I had time to take before the D conference started.
Oh, now
I got to say, as much as I love the D conference, the startups that were pitched there were mostly of this caliber. It's kind of like. Kind of interesting from a business perspective, but
I thought Tim Cook got a lot of ink, and I thought he was interesting, but he didn't say anything.
He was interesting, but he didn't say anything. Does that make logical sense, that sentence?
I'll give you an example. Then you tell me if he said anything. He says we're going to double down on secrecy.
What does that even mean?
It means that they're going to even be more secret, that Apple's even going to be more secret than they are before. Now, that's not saying anything, but it's still interesting.
They won't know what they're doing.
That's interesting.
Except he said,
they won't know what they're
doing. He said, we're going to double down on secrecy, except on things like openness when it comes to manufacturing. And then the report comes out that their policies and stuff in China and Foxconn plants are actually not that good. So they want to be more transparent and open.
They'll double up on PR. That's the deal.
That's what they're going to do. Now you got it.
We're going to double down on PR. So, we're translating now.
Cook was really interesting. I mean, the thing about the D conference, I wrote this and many other people have written this as well. There was one guy at D who was like over everything. He impacted every single session.
Steve Jobs.
Totally Steve Jobs.
Yeah.
He was.
Not this year, but in past years.
No, this year.
This year.
This year, it was Jobs' show.
It was amazing.
It was Cooks was the not Jobs CEO.
Right.
There was the guys from Spotify talking about iTunes. There was Ari Emanuel talking about movie industry with which Jobs impacted with Pixar. There was Ed Catmull of Pixar and Disney talking about that. Larry Ellison and Ed Catmull did a reminiscing what it was like to work with Steve Jobs.
This
Jobs'
is more
impact
reflection,
was everywhere.
That's more a reflection of Walt Mossberg's sycophantic love for Apple than anything else. That's not what the tech industry is doing.
I would not argue that.
Well, it was Mossberg has written a lot of good stuff about Jobs, but a lot about Apple.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, all the speakers there made references to him in one way or the other.
Invited by Walt Mossberg. I
don't think he said you have to talk about Jobs in order to come up on stage.
I'm suspicious of the whole thing. By the way, here's some of the things Tim Cook told us.
Curtis is right.
He really loves being CEO at Apple.
Aww.
Yeah. He says it's an incredible time. I'm loving every minute.
I'm sure
of it.
He is.
He says, I've never seen a product and technology that customers loved more than the iPad.
Huh.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. He says, I learned a lot from Steve.
Oh.
Yeah.
Let me write that down.
Yeah, he taught us all of life is fragile. Yeah. He's a visionary, too. Yeah. Steve. On Apple TV. Now, he said some interesting things. He said, for instance, the Apple TV is... Now, please parse this, because you were there. You saw him. You saw his expression. Maybe you got some sense from what his face is saying, what he meant, when he said the Apple TV is not a fifth leg of the stool. What the hell? What kind of stool is this?
I don't remember
really
that particular quote.
Stool.
Nothing but stool.
I believe an Apple TV is, I'm not sure, but I believe an Apple TV is kind of inevitable based on what he said and the way Ari Emanuel, who, the super agent Ari Emanuel, you know, from Entourage.
Right. Ari Gold.
Right. The way, which by the way, spot on.
Really?
Oh, totally.
That's great. It's Rahm Emanuel's brother.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally. I think it was Kara asked Ari, so what do you think of the Apple TV? And Ari says, haven't seen it. Don't know what you're talking about.
And he does a little smirk like that?
Yeah. Mm. Well, except I can't smirk like that.
Interesting.
That man can smirk.
Interesting. I've been reading the transcripts. I didn't watch the video of Tim Cook, but somehow people got the sense that there was going to be not the Apple TV we know, but an Apple television set.
Well, Apple needs to move into new markets in order to become the trillion-dollar company that everybody wants them to become. They need to move into new markets, and TV is it. And apparently, the set-top boxes, even the uber simple set-top boxes like the Apple TV and the Roku, they're just not making an impact.
He sold 2.7 million of them. I mean, nothing. It's nothing.
It's not the hardware. It's the deals they do for the content. And they don't have those deals yet. And ESPN is holding up everybody. And
who is?
What Apple wants to do is blow up cable, and they're too dependent on cable. But that's what you have to do. If you're going to move TV past the logjam it's in now, you have to move off of the, you know, off the 500-channel world where, you know, there are all these bundles and it's an awful system into something that looks like the net. And I think that's what Apple kind of wants to do while owning the show. And they're only going to be able to do that by doing their deals. And I don't know what that's going to be, except it will probably involve Disney.
Doc's absolutely right. And only in the technology industry, only Apple has the pull and the chutzpah to pull off a move like that and to really upend the TV industry the way it did with music and the way it did with the telcos. Only Apple can do that as far as I know.
Exactly.
Yeah. Sony, it used to be Sony, but not anymore. Sorry, what?
Yeah. Steve is the only guy who proved he could do that over and over again.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that Tim Cook has that leverage.
That's the question. Yeah, exactly.
So is this a more lock-in, though, Doc? I mean, you were just saying how companies shouldn't be.
Oh, sure.
I mean, that's what they're doing, right? They want to own it all.
Well, here's the thing. We're going to have stuff that's free and stuff that's paid, and that's it. You know, and it's going to be either subscription or a la carte. Doesn't matter what it is. They're going to make it as easy as they possibly can, and they're going to do their deals. But you're going to pay for it. Right. Whatever it is, you're going to pay. Right now, it's too much. I mean, people don't want
to
pay.
Why shouldn't we pay for content? It costs money to make it.
No, I don't think most people have a problem with doing that. Apple proved that with iTunes, you know, 10 years ago.
Right.
The question is, how can they make that work with video content? How can they do that? And probably what they do is they're looking at YouTube and saying, well, that's all the free stuff, and we're going to have the good stuff. And you can get the free crap on YouTube, and you get the good stuff on our thing. And it's not just going to be TV. I wouldn't be surprised if they make a screen that exceeds the dimensions of 1080p, because that's what the iPad.
Oh, that's wait a minute. That's interesting. You mean a 4K screen, for instance?
Exactly. I think that's where they're going. I think that's where they're going to go. And they're looking at 1080p as a 1996 standard, and they're tired of it, and they want to break out of it.
And it won't be 4K. It won't be 4K. It'll be some non-standard Apple thing.
It'll be 2.8K. You're right.
Thing. And they're going to work with, you know, there'll be... The thing is that most movies right now are being shot in 1080. So whether or not, you know, they're going to drag Hollywood into higher...
I think not, actually. I think Hollywood is doing more and more 4K, and that's certainly how... That's James Cameron's pushing that very heavily.
He's also pushing 60 FPS.
Faster frame rates per second, and higher resolution.
Because we want the world to look like a soap opera.
Well, because you're thinking it's going to look like the interpolated LCDs. It doesn't. It looks more realistic with that interpolation. Mm-hmm. Interpolation. The faster frame rate and the higher resolution makes it just look like you're right here.
Yeah.
It's very vivid.
Now,
by the way, you don't need 3D, in my opinion.
How about spending money for writers and good content rather than this bull crap?
No. We just got to blow more crap up and make it 3D. That's all you have to do. Writing is hard. Explosions are easy.
Expensive, though. The challenge with going to 4K and 60 frames per second or whatever is that's going to just... We don't have the bandwidth for that.
I do like this idea that Apple... Because if Apple's going to do a television set, it's got to do something different. I mean, it's a commodity at this point, right? Samsung, LG, Sharp, Sony. What's the difference? They're minor, minor differences. These are commoditized right. products at this point. So Apple doesn't want to join that parade. Right. But what do that makes it unique? Is it user interface? Is it higher resolution?
It's both.
It's content deals?
It's the deals. It's plug in the TV, turn off your $100, $120 a month cable subscription, just plug it into the internet somehow.
Well, that'll make people happy.
That's not going to work.
How do you make a product that kills Comcast, Cablevision?
Well, Apple is managing to kill everything that the mobile carriers do. I mean, they've taken over, just like BlackBerry did, except in a bigger scale. They're taking over SMS. Eventually, with Skype, etc., will take over the calling, which is why you buy a phone.
Related story.
Imagine if Apple had bought Skype. Just interesting thought. Mm.
Would it have been any different? I mean, Microsoft hasn't done anything with Skype. Apple has FaceTime, which isn't exactly taken over the world. I don't think they're degrading. Look how good Doc looks.
Yeah, it looks okay.
We're
not degrading Doc.
The codec is great. It's just the UI still sucks.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, there was a bit at D about how, I think it was Topolsky who lambasted the guy from Skype about how crappy the Mac UI is.
Yeah, well, rightly so.
Yeah, really.
It's fact. We actually were telling we use Skype for all of our remote guests. We were telling people, do not upgrade to Skype 5 on your Mac.
I made a big mistake doing that.
Yeah.
And now, here's the thing about Skype. Microsoft owns Skype, and Microsoft also has a giant investment in Facebook. That's the real connection, Skype plus Facebook.
I agree. It's the same reason Microsoft bought patents was to defend Facebook against the Yahoo onslaught. Mm-hmm. There's the Microsoft Facebook Nexus is very interesting.
Very important.
Tim Cook said, stay tuned.
Right. So everybody's expecting that iOS.
What does that mean?
Yeah.
Stay tuned when they said, what about Facebook integration in iOS? You've got Twitter. What about Facebook? Do you guys hate Facebook? He said, no, I saw Sheryl Sandberg in the hall. We were great friends. We have different, our companies are going in different directions, but stay tuned.
People make a big deal about the fact that iOS 5.1 or 5 whatever is all integrated in with Twitter and not Facebook. But Facebook is still embedded in a lot of Mac apps, a lot of OS X apps. I mean,
Facebook Connect is huge.
Yeah. But Facebook is built into Mac apps.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Apple's own apps.
Yeah, Apple's own. So it'll come to, I believe iOS 6 will have a lot of Facebook integration. Facebook and Twitter are different things.
But Microsoft plus Facebook is like double the lack of originality. you get two for one.
I'm sure Microsoft's hoping that some of the Facebook charm will rub off on them, and Facebook's hoping that Microsoft will provide.
Hopefully not charm. Their stock price. God,
really? So what? But Doc, you understand you're swimming upstream when you say that 800 million, 900 million people use Facebook now, use it regularly.
Actually, the last time I was on Twitter was when you got off Facebook.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
And you know why I'm back?
And you got back on.
I did. Yeah. And you know why? Because you can't cover the industry and not be using Facebook, right?
Oh, bull. I don't use Facebook. I cover the industry.
Some would say you might be a little out of touch, John.
Well, they've been saying that for 20 years.
I felt that I needed to know when Facebook announced these products. I needed to look at them. John, I'm not like you. I can't grok something from a distance. I have to participate to understand it.
I just listen to what you have to say, and I just copy what you say.
So I'm glad somebody's doing the basic footwork.
Somebody's got to do footwork. It's not me.
Hey, I am sacrificing myself. I am well aware of that by using Facebook. You use Facebook, Rafe. I know. We're buddies.
We're Facebook pals.
I know exactly what's going on in your life.
You know exactly what I want you to know about what's going on in my life.
Uh-huh. Lies
That's
on Facebook.
Facebook is individual people's PR arms.
Anyway, you're right, Doc. I did get off Facebook. I felt Facebook was, and I even more so after we kind of started to learn about the shady stock stuff, that was never been has been the nicest people in the world. And yet, I kind of say, as a user, I kind of like it. It kind of sucks you in. Is it not addictive?
You always go to your timeline and look at pictures of yourself.
Yes.
What kind of – this is not research for being an industry pundit.
This is me and my people.
What are your ads? Let me see what your ads are.
The ads will tell you everything. Okay, let's see.
No, they won't.
$20
really
and
bad.
Under Ford Flair, just what I want, Ford cufflinks.
Ford cufflinks.
Streetwear men's shoes. There's one with a woman.
Loafers.
There's one. I haven't seen it in a while, but there was one that was really I don't see it now. Huh. I often get busty women for some reason
in
my
ads. There's
that
one for the D-panties, the surplus
D-panties.
The D-panties.
What? If I sign up for that. Yeah. If I do order a bra, I'll be getting stuff on Facebook about it.
You don't even have to.
I'll confuse the hell out of them.
That's worth doing just for
you've
that.
You've already gone to that True site, and they probably know if you use Facebook Connect to get in there.
Yep.
And they're going to think that you want that, and right. that's what you're about, and you'll get ads for that.
There yeah. is a, there is
and a, very get, large women's shoes.
Singles.
There it's is insane. Increasingly the sense that maybe ad tracking doesn't work. Maybe customized ads don't work.
Well, they don't work on Facebook.
Well, GM said they didn't work. I think that's more because GM couldn't figure
and
out.
And then how to make they it work. GM then the next day also pulled out of the Super Bowl. I mean, right. so they're just. I think they're just all idiots. Cover because they're out of ad money.
You know, if somebody told me that what GM wanted to do was a takeover, and Facebook said you can't do a takeover on a takeover is in the banner ad business where you take over a whole page. It's like GM, GM, GM all over the page, and Facebook wouldn't do that. No. And GM said, "Well, then we don't know how to use Facebook." If you won't let us do that.
But they still maintain their free presence.
That's funny.
Yeah.
I mean, they still have
Facebook. I think that's the message that some were taking from this is Facebook works, but why pay?
Right.
Just have a page. But I don't... Doc, that's not real engagement. And that's kind of what you're saying, isn't it?
Well, and I'm saying several things. One is that I... You know, obviously they're successful at doing what they're doing in terms
Facebook
of...
Facebook is, yes.
Well, I mean, in terms of the social side of it, that works to the degree that a zillion people are involved in it. But the advertising is actually remarkably bad. It's remarkably off.
It is.
What their algorithm supposedly knows about you, it's remarkably off. Most of it's really way off.
Right.
And it's surprising. Now, I've talked to a number of people who have advertised on there and who have said to almost a person that it doesn't work very well, if at all. However, I spoke to somebody today who absolutely swears by it. So... I don't know. I mean, I guess in some cases it does. If it's really narrow, if you're already loved to some degree, and you're just trying to enlarge the love that they have for you. In this case, it was a radio station here in Boston. But the NPR podcast Planet Money had a really good thing on a pizza place in New Orleans where they did everything by the book, and they're already loved by a zillion people, and they got like not one response, not right. one. They paid nothing.
Can I have a little rant about Facebook ads here?
Yeah.
The reason Facebook has two problems with ads. First, on the main site, you don't go to Facebook because you're looking to do research. You go to Facebook to keep up with your friends, and that's why ads don't work.
Right.
Because I don't care that how many ads I get for Bonobo's pants, which is all the time. I'm not in the mood to
for
buy
what?
Clothes.
For what?
Some pants.
Pants? Bottomless pants?
Bonobos.
Look what I get. Okay.
Anyway, let me go on. So
they got a really confused. They think I want to race in a 13-mile race with a muddy woman who looks somewhat like, I got to say, Raquel Welch.
You like muddy women?
And then boyfriend wanted, seniorsmeet.com.
Oh, good.
Girlfriend wanted, seniorpeoplemeet.com. So not only am I old, but apparently I want a boyfriend and a girlfriend, and I want to meet older women, and I want to learn Python.
Menage a trois with Python. There you go, with a snake.
Wow.
I think you're absolutely
they
right.
They really nailed you.
Really
as hard. I was saying.
Yes.
Nope. So that is problem one. Problem two is they don't make it. It doesn't work on mobile because there's no bandwidth in real estate, and everybody knows that. That's why one of the reasons their stock is doing so badly. But where Facebook can win is if they go from advertisements on Facebook to advertisements elsewhere and compete with Google directly for advertisements on the internet.
To be like AdSense.
Do an ad network.
Well,
that's their future. That's where Facebook has to go. That's where the social proximity will actually work.
In the last couple of shows, Scoble was on here, and he predicted, because he'd seen the deck, I suppose.
Some magical.
That was all mobile.
Monetization.
That was the future of Facebook.
Yeah. But they haven't figured out how to do it. Neither has Google.
I'm willing to stipulate that perhaps Mark Zuckerberg has some deep plan for monetization. But I think it's also possible that you're right, that he has no idea what he's doing.
Oh, no. That's why he keeps buying mobile companies. That's why he bought Instagram.
Yeah, no one's ever considered that possibility.
The Instagram is crazy because Facebook then, 3 weeks later, releases a Facebook camera app.
You're right.
That's Instagram.
That was pretty freaky weird. Yeah.
It's like, wait a minute. You just bought a company for $1 billion and you were working on a similar product with filters and everything all along? What did you get?
This is why they are AOL 2.0. Remember all of the instant messaging companies that AOL bought? It's the same thing. They're just the same.
They're lost. They're wandering in the desert, lost without any plan.
Yeah. I've also heard that Sheryl runs the business side and Zuck runs the tech side, and that for the most part, you know, unless he wants to suddenly in a fit of largesse buy a company, he is not involved in the business side of the thing. I don't know if that's true.
In other words, he's not working on monetization.
It's not largesse. He's buying mobile companies because Facebook desperately needs mobile talent.
Right.
He's buying for the people.
Yeah. Although $1 billion for Instagram makes no sense by that metric.
They got 10 people.
Yeah, right.
For $100 million each.
12.
Okay. By the way, Ford has 1.5 million likes on here. General Motors, 340,000.
What does a like get you?
Nothing.
Nothing. I don't think it's anything.
You have a bot that creates those things.
I get all these likes.
I'll tell you the one thing, and I don't know how valuable it is, but the one thing it gets you is that, in fact, you'll see this right here. It says, somewhere it says Robert. See, okay, one of the people
Robert
I follow.
Robert likes everything.
Yeah, but okay, here's Jesse. Jesse Stay likes fab.com. So in this ad, there's a little plug from one of my friends, right? So that's one of the things they get, I guess.
That's one of those ineffective ads that you're never
going to click on. I wouldn't have ever seen that if I hadn't actually been looking at it. So, State Farm.
Can't find enough ways to sell out.
State Farm apparently wants me to take a job as an insurance agent with them.
Well, just in case, a good backup. Good backup.
Achieve unlimited income. Unlimited.
That is a lie.
My income, if I were selling insurance, would be unlimited. Or this week's Zazzle bag feed is up. I don't even know what that is.
Spell that. What is it spell?
I don't know. It's something apparently. There's
sounds like a disease.
It sounds. There's an ad. Somebody bought this. I don't know why. Zazzle bag feed is up.
Zazzle bag feed.
Let the word go forth from this country to all. The Zazzle bag feed is up. Municipal bond suites. $20 and under Ford cufflinks. You're right. You're right, Doc. This is junk.
junk.
Absolute junk.
Junk advertising.
Wow. Well, there you go. Here's some interesting news. Fios, Verizon, has announced that they are going to now offer 300 megabit down, 65 megabit up service. They didn't announce pricing, but it's leaked out that it will be, if you sign up for 2 years, $205 a month.
For how many gigamegas?
300 down, 65 up.
That's a lot. That's more than people need.
You can't do anything because no server is that
right,
fast.
Exactly. If you have like a family of
maybe that's it.
100. 16 tuplets and they're all downloading different movies at the same time.
Or you own a condo or an apartment building.
This is Verizon Fios, the Mormon Polygamy Edition.
Have you been working on that gag?
No, I just came up with that like that. It came out of my brain.
It seemed
actually,
it was rehearsed.
Their prices, I think, on 15 gigs
that's
were...
That's because it was so pat. Yeah, it was too good.
Yeah,
I should have fumfered around a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sorry, what are you saying?
Nah, I forget.
John and I are having a thing. Just ignore us.
Okay. I'm using 25 megabit symmetrical here.
It's
works
nice.
Really well. I have to say that their service has been outstanding.
And what do you pay for that? That's $75 a month? Is that what that is?
I'm paying $70 a month for 25 symmetrical, but I have no TV. There's no bundle. So we got rid of the TV part, which had an awful UI and we never watched.
Right.
But this is really solid.
Does Verizon, you say, or Comcast?
This is Verizon Fios.
Fios. He's got Fios. Yeah.
Wow. And if I can turn the camera,
look how good that looks.
No, that's why it looks so good.
Look how good that looks.
Yeah.
Works great.
It's one of the best you've had on the show for the last
And it's pretty consistent, right?
Yeah, it's solid. Yeah. It's solid. Mm. Yeah. And, of course, they've stopped developing it, you see, because they did a deal with Comcast that the feds aren't investigating. Where they're no commercial company is developing fiber right now.
Isn't that ironic? So, in fact, John, you said this. You said Fios was just going to be a showpiece, that they wouldn't roll it out. They surprised us all. They rolled it out much more widely. But now they've said, we're not going to do any more Fios and sell somebody. It's like a club. You can't go in until somebody goes out.
It's a form of corruption.
And it was a deal. You're saying, Doc, it was a deal with Comcast?
Well, they're not calling it that, but it was very coincidental. And I'm not remembering exactly the thing. But they want – it's a combination of they want spectrum for wireless because that's where they're making the big money right now. And and the I guess Comcast was sitting on the spectrum or somebody was sitting on the spectrum. But they announced that they were not going to continue developing – rolling out Fios at the same time as they went for this deal with the cable guys. So – just watch, follow the money, as the movie said, that's, and it's all this backroom dealing. And they're all in this thing that Bob Frankston calls the regulatorium. They talk about the free market at work. They never met a free market. They own the market. They're zoo animals in a regulatory zoo that they run.
Right.
So, you know, and so and in the meantime, they're at every almost every state, they're lobbying hard to prevent the munis, the municipalities,
sure,
from doing any kind of a build out. So as a result, nobody's doing anything other than the carriers, and the carriers aren't doing it. So we're falling farther and farther behind the rest of the world. Well, and that's the free market at work.
Right? And ironically, now these guys are so dependent on this culture of monopoly that they have to be protected. if we can't allow competition, they'd go out of business.
This is not the free market at work. This is a corrupt system. It's not the free market. If it was the free market, we'd have some choices here.
Well, it's interesting. What we're seeing, and I hope people remember this, is the exact result of an experiment that was performed on us, the people, about 20 years ago, where our government decided, no, we need to protect these incumbents so that they will build out. And the premise was we will get faster, better internet because we're going to protect the incumbents. We're going to give them a chance to make the money back for laying all that copper or laying all that fiber. And in Europe and in Scandinavia and other countries, they didn't do that. And who's got the better internet connection now? We now know the result. Free market works.
Yeah, but we don't, and that doesn't work here because we don't have it.
We didn't have it. We're in the late regulatory.
You can't. But how do you build a government-run, you know, internet infrastructure in this country?
Well, it's too late now. But
it was—it's always been too late.
It's politically impossible here.
Yeah, exactly. We don't do that.
Yeah, in the rest of the world, there's an understanding that there's a symbiosis between government and business, and here there's not. It's government versus business, and so you get the big policy people on the left, and you get the big business people on the right, and neither one of them really want the marketplace to work. One doesn't get the marketplace. The other gets how big business can run the marketplace. And that's our choice. It's really creepy and bad.
Well, and we get the internet we deserve.
That's better than no internet.
It is.
It's debatable. Yeah.
I had a guy call me on the radio show who said, I turned off my internet. Can I still get hacked? I said, no, you're safe. Congratratulations.
He could get Stuxnet.
You could from a thumb drive. Yeah. He said, are they watching me?
Who's they?
I don't know. I said, I don't think they're watching you anymore.
Don't care.
Yeah. I told him, I thought, well, I'm going
to tell him to do what I do. Put a little piece of gaffer's tape over the camera on your laptop.
I ended up deciding to scare
this. I have a little page flag, a little green page flag, and I just lay
it. You actually do that. Look at that.
And I'm not doing Twit. There it is.
We can't.
Yeah,
let's tell him we can still see him, just to freak him out.
Yeah, by the way, we can absolutely see what you're doing. In fact, that green thing is reflecting your screen.
No, actually, what it does is it looks like you have no clothes on. It's an amazing product.
Just wishful thinking on your part.
So. Oh,
I think I scared the guy. I told him about Van Eck freaking. I said, but you want to keep your monitor away from the wall because if there's somebody on the other side of the wall, it's very easy for him to pick up what you're doing.
You said that?
I did.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
Messing with the norms. That's my idea.
The norms. The norms.
The norms. The normies. It is true. I'm not kidding. So let's talk about stamps.com, then we'll continue on. We have a vast in-studio audience. Doc can't see this, but there are like 15, 20,
it's
30.
It's a good crowd.
It's a good crowd. There's actually women in the audience, which rarely happens.
Yeah, we got 1, 2, 3, 4. Wow.
What happened? Is this Mother's Day? They're all waving. All four of them. Yeah, that's right. If you're a woman, would you please wave? All right. Thank you very much.
And after the show, you can come up and get the panties from Ray.
I should have brought them with.
You should have auctioned them off.
I should have. I know.
Yeah. We should get that drone camera.
I think they were sized for the D attendees, which were all guys, so I don't think they'd fit any of the women who were here.
Size D panties. I think we have a ship.
For the D conference.
Let's talk about stamps.com. They've had the lower third up, and the guys at stamps.com are saying, take it down! Take it down! Take it down! He's talking about panties! ladies and gentlemen, when's the last time you went to the post office, John?
A couple days ago.
Yeah, it's fun, isn't it?
Well, I had one of those big giant boxes.
Right. And they won't let you put that in the mail. You can't, your mail carrier won't take it. You can't put it in the mailbox because it's too big. Did you know that if you had used stamps.com, they would take it? They would come and they would get it? You could actually schedule a pickup free from the Postal Service? Did you know that?
Count me in.
I think you should. This is an amazing thing. You don't have to go to the post office anymore. You print your own postage. You can print it right on the envelope, which looks really good, with your logo and everything. You can also mail packages. The rule, what?
What is this welcome Leo Laporte listeners on their homepage?
That's because I don't know. Somehow it thinks that I'm Leo Laporte. But let me, if I can go to the front page. See, every time it does this, this is not what you will get if you go to stamps.com. You'll have to do some special things to get that. Let me tell you about that. You're going to see there's a microphone on the right. You click that, and you enter in the offer code TWIT. And what happens magically, that special offer on the front page is $80. It goes to $110 because we give you more postage coupons, $55 of free postage coupons. We give you a free digital scale worth $50. You just pay shipping and handling. You get a supply kit. You get a four-week trial. The scale is cool because you plug it in to your computer, and then you throw the thing on there, and the software does it all. In fact, this is really kind of it's our typing elimination program, because if you use eBay or Amazon as a seller, it'll just fill out the forms for you and print it all. If you do international mail, the same thing. You don't have to type in anything. It will, if you use QuickBooks, it'll take your address book from QuickBooks and you do invoices. You don't have to type in. We use it. We actually ended up buying two scales. We have, because we were fighting over it. Stamps.com, it is a great deal, and this special offer is available right now. If you go to stamps.com, don't look at me like
what
that.
Are you shipping? You're looking at me like what are you that. Shipping?
Stuff.
Oh, okay.
Things and stuff.
Stuff.
What do we ship, John? We ship stuff back.
Panties.
We ship panties.
We just ship stuff.
People buy stuff from us. Stickers. We got a little factory in the basement. We do got a little piecework stuff. We do, you know, things. Fan mail. We send stuff out. We do. Actually, we ship back everything that we get for review for before you buy. We have to ship back. So we ship stuff. We do. Hadn't really thought about the panty thing yet. But that's an interesting
sideline. You could make some money.
That's a sideline. You know, is it the word panty?
Twit panties.
That makes it so compelling? Just panty. If we call them pants, like underpants, that wouldn't be so interesting.
I think they should have their own name.
They should.
They shouldn't do. Be so panties. Diminutive of pants.
Panties.
No.
They shouldn't be.
What do you think they should be?
It's something else. Something that is lacy and frilly
lady
and beautiful
trousers.
And wonderful.
How about lady trousers?
That's a diminutive. Yes. You've been watching too much Top Gear.
Really? That's in Top Gear? Lady trousers.
Sounds like something you hear in
it
Top
does.
Gear.
Yeah. You should call them lady trousers. You know, it's the Queen's Jubilee. What does that mean? Is there
Knickers.
Is there anybody from the Knickers Commonwealth in the studio today? Anybody from New Zealand, Australia, Canada, the American Samoas, anywhere? Where are you from, sir? So,
I have no idea what the Queen's Jubilee.
You don't know about the Queen's Jubilee? This is a big deal.
You see the picture of her firing a gun, like a rifle?
They had to lower the river for the Queen because her boat was so high it couldn't go under the new Millennium Bridge. So they actually lowered the river. That's power.
It's a big boat.
The Jubilee is what her 50th year in power?
60.
60?
Wow.
So it's her Diamond Jubilee.
She's been on the throne for 60 years.
That's amazing. And she doesn't look a day
over. My advice, prunes.
So,
oh, I got a groan. I got a groan.
Look.
All right.
Look at the hat.
Jeez,
is that a mushroom?
Lame.
What is that?
She was playing Mario.
She's waving from the royal barge on the River Thames.
On a flotilla.
I love this. You know why I love this? Do you love this? Because it's medieval. It brings back, it just reminds me of the good old days.
Ah, okay. Yeah, the plague. Those were the good old days.
That the country's under adult supervision.
Actually,
that's cool.
The Queen's flotilla was taken, the idea for it was taken from an old painting.
Did we finish the stamps.com ad?
Long ago.
It was an interesting segue.
It was a four-day diamond jubilee. So they were trying to figure out, how do we make this really cool? How do we celebrate? There's nothing like, you know, a river full of boats with the Queen on a royal barge at the front.
Yeah.
So this was a 3-century-old painting of a previous royal pageant that they
copied.
Copied.
Check this out. That's my idea of a
She's
queen.
She's shooting a cannon?
No, that's like a machine gun.
Where'd you find that? If I search for Queen Elizabeth shoots machine gun?
Yeah, Queen Rifle Queen Jubilee.
Rifle
I don't know if this is real or not.
You might be able to get an animated GIF. That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, here it is. The Queen's Diamond Jubilee celebration, 62-gun salute. No, it's not her firing.
That's her firing a gun. I'm sorry, we're not plugged into my computer.
I wish the hell we could see that. Chat room will give it to me.
Yeah.
Chat room, I want a picture. This is so cool. Watch this. chat room.
Yes, Leo.
I want a... That's just my imagination. I want a picture of the Queen firing a rifle, chat room.
On the Jubilee.
On the Jubilee. Working.
With an umbrella.
Working.
Look at this picture.
Working. Okay, you're not that fast. I can't see. We can't show people. You're pulling up pictures on your computers. It's leaving the audience out. Processing.
There, look.
And here it is. Ladies and gentlemen,
just
from
doing it to
the
be
Telegraph.
Annoyed. Annoying.
There it is. The Queen. Jesus Christ.
How awesome is that?
You do not want to get her angry.
Wow.
You do not want to get... But I'm glad she's wearing white
gloves.
What if
that thing has a kick, she's doomed.
Now are you proud to be from New Zealand? I bet you are, sir. You're a proud Kiwi.
We would never see Obama doing that.
Actually, it lost Michael Dukakis the election. Wearing the little tank helmet.
Yeah,
that was a big mistake. You got to be careful.
He didn't have her steely look of determination and rage.
You know what? She could get elected president right now. We're sorry, Your Majesty.
As Jay Spin says, that's a fake photo.
No, I don't care.
It's from the Telegraph.
I just don't care. I love it.
It's from the Telegraph. That's not fake. She's squinting. She's squinting. She's aiming.
All right.
Or cheekwell. That's all I have to say.
Trigger hand looks great.
It's way old.
All right, let's get back to the story.
Tech news. Google promises to unveil the... You're going to this event. The next dimension of Google Maps.
Yeah, right before Apple releases how it's going to divorce itself from Google forever.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Google is having an event. I don't know what they're
going to
do.
You think it's a response to Apple dropping Google Maps from iOS?
They're all competing with each other. You know, navigation and location, mobile location finding is everything.
What could you do? I mean, you know, I'm tempted to go to this event, but I just don't know. Is there really, is it one of those events you go to and you go, well, that wasn't that interesting?
It's going
to
be 3D.
They could make the product better on Android. I mean, it's all about mobile. It's all about Android because they can't do anything on iOS because Apple's going to drop them. So they've got to make Android maps better, but they're already pretty freaking awesome, so I don't know what they're going to do.
They're already making them better because they're doing this passive-aggressive thing where, for example, you don't get verbal instructions on iOS. You do get them on Android.
Right.
You don't get the revised recalculating thing that you get with most GPSs on iOS. You only get it on Android.
You think
already.
That's Google being passive-aggressive or Apple?
Sure it is. If Apple's doing that, I'd be surprised.
And they're already traffic-aware. On Google.
Yeah, the traffic aware thing, which I use, is amazing. This is the best navigator you can get.
I know you're a big fan.
This phone, as old as it is, has not got a single scratch on it.
Is that passive aggressive, or is that Google just favoring their own platform?
You know, the other thing they have been doing is they're doing more indoor mapping. So for businesses, like in airports especially.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
But
when we were at CES, they had maps of the trade show on Google Maps. So you'd walk in and you could continue to use
the
maps.
I think maybe they were maps of inside your body. Of the synthetic biology guys, too.
One thing I am very happy about. They did put Google Places in the maps now, but now they've added the Zagat guides free.
Right.
That's cool. They bought
Zagat.
Yeah.
I think that's cool. In fact, I'd been paying for Zagat. Is it Zagat or Zagat?
I don't know.
It's Zagat.
Zagat?
Doesn't matter.
Nina Zagat once, and I believe, if I recall correctly, she introduced herself as Nina Zagat. But I could be wrong. It could be.
It's pronounced Chardet.
Whatever. It won't be in business in 5 years.
No, because Google bought it.
That's one reason. And Yelp is still better.
Zagat. I was right.
Zagat?
Nina was right with her own name.
Zagat? Rhymes with cat, like the cat.
Zagat.
But we're asking where the emphasis is. Is it the beginning or the end?
It's Zagat, Zagat, or Zagat. One of the three.
Zagat, the back channel says.
Yeah. So anyway, they actually gave me a free guide because I had some subscription money left over.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah.
They said, would you like a free guide? I said, yes. And the one I ordered, you're going to love this.
Baltimore.
Yeah. How'd you know?
It's a good city.
Wonderful city. I like the waterfront. Wouldn't go inland. If I were you. Did you see the new Chromebooks?
Yes.
What? They have new ones?
Better, stronger, faster.
Yep, better, stronger, faster.
Just as relevant.
Get this. No longer the Atom processor. Now they've got Celerons.
Celery?
Celeron.
Celery.
Chips. I don't even know where they got them from. Does Intel
still
make them?
There's a room full of Celeron chips
That's
somewhere.
That's where they got them.
They raided the room. Yeah.
They gave them a deal.
They don't have core whatevers?
No, they're Celerons.
Jeez, Louise, Google. Nobody's going to buy these things. I tried one. We have one in the lab.
The netbook has not died. I know. I just gave one to my intern. He said, do you have a laptop I could use for the summer? I said, yeah. Here.
I still like Chromebooks.
And he quit.
Yeah, he's gone. I don't know where he went.
I still like Chromebooks because you can give one to a guest or a five-year-old, and they cannot get into your settings
and screw it up. They just close it and say, I don't want this.
Well, they can write emails. That's pretty bad.
They say Angry Birds? No. Sorry. Yeah. Actually, it does have Angry Birds.
It does play Angry Birds. At least the old ones play poorly. Thing. The new ones played a little bit better.
Yeah. Huh. So we've talked for years about the Google Book deal. So that's how long I've known you. It's been going on for years. Google scanned books. The authors and publishers said, whoa, wait a minute, you can't scan those books.
Right, and the irony, of course, is that before this all began, everybody was idealistically talking about how great it would be to digitize the world's books.
Google except somebody wrote them.
Yes, except the authors.
Oh. Right. So it turns out, finally, a federal judge ruled this week that authors and photographers could go forward with a class action lawsuit over scanning with Google Books. They asked Google asked the judge to remove the Authors Guild and a photographers group from the lawsuit. They said a class action wasn't appropriate because many authors were actually in favor of scanning.
Right. And they should be.
How do you feel? Okay, both of you are authors. Doc, don't you worry that Google will scan your books and then make them available?
I would hope they do. I mean, I can't tell you how handy it is to when doing research to be able to look inside a book. And I've still bought a zillion of them. And Clutrain, by the way, still sells well.
It's been online for free forever.
It's been online for free for years.
Yeah.
In fact, it's being online for free has probably helped sales.
I agree.
So I think it's I think I understand their complaint, but I think it's misplaced.
I agree with that. It's a complete misunderstanding of the way technology works.
So it's the usual case of the existing...
The norms.
Not understanding how technology works.
But shouldn't the norms still be allowed to file suit if they want to?
I just want to go on record that nobody watching, listening, or in any way involved with the show is a norm.
And except there's a guy in the second row, Norm Johnson.
Norm, I'm not talking about you, Norm. Google has applied for some new TLDs. You know, the ICANN folks have added arbitrary, anything you want, TLDs.
Mm-hmm.
There are lots, though. It's like, what is it, Doc? 150,000?
I thought
it was
250.
.Leo.
It's expensive. I can get .Leo. So Google's getting .Google. They're going to apply.
Why?
Because then you could go to google.google. That doesn't make any sense, does it?
Just go to google.google.
What if you went to com.google?
That would be a good
and
one.
You would have a backwards Google.
dyslexics.
They got .docs. That would make sense for your Google Docs .docs. Or Doc, you might want that. Doc.
Oh, no, I wanted that.
Docs. You know,
until Google Docs came along, I was among the top docs, and I'm gone now.
Oh,
so yeah.
Hate that. That Twitter did that to me. .YouTube, in case you didn't know where you were going to see those crotch shot videos. Angry, annoying orange. And this is my favorite, .LOL.
That's great. And Cheeseburger's got to be in the running for that one.
They want to register .LOL.
OMG.
Is it a new...
I'm going to get OMG. Hang on.
Oh, I think AOL has OMG.
Ah, dang. WTF, can I get that one?
Yes, .WTF. Yeah. That's good. I like it. .Rafe. You should have .Rafe.
I almost got Rafe.com, but that's a stupid luggage.
You know, Doc, if you registered .Doc, not .Docs, you could get some traffic.
Yeah, I missed it. I wanted to do that, and I missed it by not much.
Didn't have a quarter million lying around?
Yeah, and that was back when it was $75 from Internick. But
you mean there is actually a dot doc?
I think not a dot. There was a doc dot. You know,
dot. Yeah, I should have gotten Leo dot. But
yeah.
If we only knew. If wishes were fishes, you were around at the beginning, Doc. You should have known this.
Yeah, I did. In fact, I actually thought that it would be a great business to go into the, you know, snarfing up a lot of domain names and selling them for a lot of money. But I thought it'd be very scammy and
scammy
business to be in. There it is.
You'd be scamming yourself all the way to the bank.
Yeah, right. Especially with art.com. I remember having that guy in my...
How much did he sell it for?
$1 million.
Art.com. And who's using it? Nobody.
Art.com is. You can go to art.com. It's a huge website.
For what, art?
Yeah, for posters
frames. Posters, art, prints, framed art. Huh.
Yeah, they paid $1 million for art.
$1 million.
$1 million.
And yet, I think Zappos.com probably does a lot more traffic.
Yeah, probably. I know, it'd be a little creative.
Generic is not what you want. Sex.com, what do you get?
I don't know what. Go check it out. Put it up on the screen.
I've never tried it. I don't know. Actually, Alexis Madrigal, who I really like, she writes, is a she or a he? It's a he, actually. Really? Writes for, he's a senior editor at The Atlantic. Writes for The Atlantic magazine. Has been doing some really good pieces. He's got an article on the case for Facebook.
Yeah, he's making a point that the stock is not that bad an idea because Facebook is 20% of the internet.
Which is
a very valid argument.
We may not like that, but it's an interesting argument.
Yeah, it was an overpriced IPO. People are all up in arms because the stock went down, and Facebook managed to extract the maximum possible value they could from the IPO. By the way,
which
good
is
job,
what they're supposed
Facebook.
To do. Their CFO deserves a pat on the back.
Now it's not good overall for other IPOs, but
no, you know who's mad? The speculators are mad because the Muppets didn't make it pop. And if the Muppets had made, they'd made a lot of money.
They would have made more, and then they could do a secondary for even more money.
They were hoping that there'd be this big retail, Jim Cramer was calling it, over the transom purchases by people, normal people who didn't realize norms. The Facebook norms. They call them Muppets, which is actually probably norms. Better. I'm going to call them Muppets. So that's what they call us. Not you, because you're sophisticated, but me. They call them Muppet. Because they were hoping the Muppets would come in and bring that stock price to 40, 50, 60 bucks. Mm-hmm. They could sell before the end of the day, get out, watch it crash. And that's why they're really upset, I think. Yeah. They didn't get the pop.
It shouldn't be Muppets. It should be idiots.
Yeah. Muggles.
The Muggles
didn't come through.
The Muggles didn't come through. And NASDAQ kind of screwed it up because they delayed it. They didn't give them a chance to.
NASDAQ, there was more traffic in Facebook shares than there has been ever for any stock. Then NASDAQ normally has an entire day for all its stocks.
Wow.
Facebook shares were that many more.
So the Muppets did buy, but I guess the Muppets didn't buy.
And then they sold, and then they bought, and then they sold. Yeah, it was a disaster.
Yeah.
They just didn't have the bandwidth. Anyway, Facebook is still a valuable company, as Alexis points
company.
Out. You know, they have lock-in, they have photo sharing, they have everybody who's connected to whom, and they'll eventually have an ad network, I believe, you know, outside of Facebook. So it's still a valuable company. The question is it as valuable to the tune of $38, even $30 a share?
I'm going to defer to you, John, because you actually understand this stuff. You talk to Andrew all the time. Do you still do the show with Andrew?
Yes.
So you know about...
DHUnplugged.com.
You know about stock stuff.
After you go to noagendashow.com, go to DHUnplugged.com, and then you can go to channeldvorak.com, and then dvorak.org/NA.
So one of the things people were complaining about was that...
It's pretty good.
Very nice. Nicely done.
Well, I was just filling the dead air.
Very, very nicely done. One of the things people were complaining about was that Facebook's price to earning, its valuation of the stock market was overblown.
Yeah,
right now, it's at 88 bucks. I think at the peak it was 110 bucks price to earning. Not bucks, but price
the
to
earnings. Ratio.
P.E. ratio.
P.E. ratio.
Amazon is 171.
The P.E. ratio is 171?
171. I don't think so. And that's what I find interesting is that nobody's saying anything about Amazon being overvalued, and they're worth twice as much.
That may be a reflection of a bad quarter. That's not necessarily what it really is.
Economic metrics don't apply this early on in a company.
It's brand new. We don't know what it's going to be. The question is, could you grow that much? But if Amazon's worth $171...
Dollars?
No.
Yeah, but that may be to do with the earnings of one specific quarter.
It has been for a long time. No, I don't know. It has been for a while. Oh, you're right. Earnings have been down. You're right. Maybe it is. Maybe
it's just some of these things, you know, are just transitory.
Wow. Is that PDE?
Yeah.
Google is 13. No, Apple's 13.
Yeah, it was 13. Yeah. Well, that's about right.
Google's around that, too.
That's because they don't expect the price. The earnings per share should reflect the growth rate of the company.
These are older
speaking.
Companies. These are older.
So 100 to 1
as old as
means
Apple
it's going
to
be doubling
Google,
every year in earnings. So if the thing's 13, it's pretty much means the company's stabilized.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's not going to double, although you don't know.
You don't know if
they come up with that TV set. Which a lot of people don't think it's going
to
happen. Some people do.
I don't. I'm very spectacle.
I'm very skeptical. Much. I'm. You're spectacle?
Yes. Good one. You got me.
Put those spectacles on.
Rafe Needleman, he does the reporter's roundtable, and he's good. He's got the AP style guy in his head. John C. Dvorak, channel Dvorak.com, Doc Searles at doc. No, is it doc.searles.com?
Yeah, that'll do it.
That'll take you to the Berkman Center and Doc's blog. We're brought to you this week by Audible.com. You know what I was listening to on Audible, and I think it's apropos. I was listening to a brand new history of the Second World War, and you were mentioning duplicity and how you wouldn't expect a government to, you know, state its intentions. In fact, that some of the things governments say may be intended to mislead.
Yes.
Yes. Hitler did that.
They all did.
Hitler.
Hitler.
Argument's
did that.
Over.
It's over.
Yep.
Godwin's law has been invoked. There's so many great books on Audible.com. Over 100,000 now. And you know, I was listening to Stephen King, and I wanted an anodyne, something to refresh the palate, an amuse-bouche in between books of The Stand, which is a very, very long book. So I got this new book.
You have a 5-minute commute to this office.
I know. I don't listen very much. It's called The Storm of War, A New History of the Second World War. It's actually great. It's fascinating. My son's even in listening to this. He's learning. You know, this is interesting. He's learning more from listening to books as I drive him to school than he learns in school, I think.
Well, yeah, it's a public school, right?
No, he goes to a very fancy, expensive school.
Same thing.
Yeah, exactly. They're smoking pot, basically, is what they
That's
do.
Good.
Yeah, the teachers go, hey, you want to light up before the class? No, they don't do that. They don't. That's wrong. I shouldn't have said that. I'm on the board of trustees. I'm going to be fired.
You need to just dig a hole for yourself.
And the name
That's
of
great.
That school, Hogwarts. Yeah. So, but back to audible.com.
You got out of it.
Yeah, I did get out of it. So do you guys listen to audiobooks? Anybody?
No, all the hands went up.
More podcasts.
Yeah. Doc, is your book? I wonder. Let me look. Is your?
Yeah. There's an audiobook.
Awesome.
Version of it, because I recorded it. I spoke it. So I don't know if that's the Audible version or if that's some other version, but there's definitely an audiobook
that
version.
It seems like a lot of work.
There is. Brian A. Morris
it
does
is.
The
clue. It took 2 days.
It took two days? Yeah.
Yeah, it took 2 days of
solid
reading.
Let me search for the Intention Economy. Most every audiobook that comes out is on Audible, but apparently yours is not. However, Clue Train is, which is a great lesson.
Clue Train is. Yeah. With all four authors reading their parts.
Yeah.
Of the original version. Now, the 10th anniversary, there's a voiceover guy.
Oh, so there's two of them.
Yeah, there's a 10th anniversary edition that has new chapters by the four authors and then an additional chapter by J.P. Rangaswamy.
Oh, he's great. I like J.P.
And Dan Gilmore and Jake McKee.
Oh, what fun.
Yeah.
So, I tell you, you can get inspired, you can learn. Oh, yeah. So there's the one narrated. There's several of these on here. Interesting. You can learn.
I don't know which ones are Audible, though. I mean, are the Audible company. We're not looking at it. I don't know.
Audible makes deals often with everybody else. So that's the thing, is almost every audiobook is on Audible. I bet yours will be. It just isn't yet. That would be my guess.
It could be. I get little notes from the publisher on what deal's been done with who, right. So I'm not sure what's been done with Audible yet.
Paris, my sweet, A Year in the City of Light and Dark Chocolate. Sounds good. If These Walls Could Talk. Now, see, this is the other kind of book I love to listen to. An Intimate History of the Home. These are kind of like sociology meets history. I love that stuff. I love it. Audible.com. I'll tell you what. Go to audible.com/twit and the number 2. Twit 2, one word. And you can sign up for the Platinum account. That's 2 books a month. First month's free. First 2 credits are free. In most cases, that's 2 books. Although, if you're doing Game of Thrones, each of those books, because it's so long, is 2 credits. Mm. So you could get 1 Game of Thrones, or you could get 2 other books. Just really, the new Lyndon Johnson biography by Robert Caro is out now. I love this stuff. Listen to the first couple of volumes on Audible. Audible, Master of the Senate. Ooh, that was good. Audible.com/twit2. Give it a try today. You will like it. Let us move on here. What other big stories are going on this week? Ivy Bridge laptop chips are out. The SpaceX cargo ship is back.
That's cool.
Space
Final.
Travel
Elon
is cool.
Elon Musk, a.k.a. Tony Stark.
He is. He's Tony Stark.
Has made a rocket and put his own capsule on it, you know, which went up to the space station.
Dragon.
Which they then grappled with a robot arm, because a source tells me getting approval for automatic docking software would have involved basically every nation that has an interest in the space station.
Wait a minute,
approving
you mean they could
it.
Have done that, but they didn't? They just said, we'll grapple you?
Yes. It's Newtonian physics. How hard can it be?
Right.
You know, but if you have a mistake, then you punch a hole in the ISS and people die. So that's not good. So they grappled with the robot arm. They opened it up, and this is, and then it just splashed down. And it was perfect recovery, perfect mission.
It was. It's only its second flight.
Yeah, and this thing, they're trying to make this space capsule, you know, human rated. So this cargo ship that went up, the driverless minivan, will eventually have people in it, up to seven.
Up to how many?
Seven.
Wow. And Elon Musk is doing, now, is he, he's spending the big profits from Tesla? No.
PayPal, then Tesla, now SpaceX.
Wow.
Tony Stark. Banking cars. What's next?
When he builds when he builds a giant tower in New York City.
And where does he launch these things from?
Where?
A secret island base.
No.
Yes. Well,
original,
with
the original
his white
SpaceX
cat
rockets.
In his lap.
Yeah, that's right.
Mr.
And it goes down Mr. under Biggles the water and then comes back up. Mm-hmm. It's amazing.
No.
It opens up the top of the volcano and the rocket goes out.
Yeah.
Oh, you guys are teasing me now.
Only slightly.
Wow. That is pretty cool. I know people were watching this as if it were like, you know, a big deal.
It is a big deal to have a private industry get up into orbit. I mean, previously.
It is. It's amazing. It's amazing.
Previously, non-private industries like Boeing and Lockheed, these non-private companies are obviously government-owned.
A startup. You're right. You're right. And we have private companies have launched, obviously, spacecraft into not just orbit, but geosynchronous, so far, far away. But to have a startup interface with the space program means we hope that NASA can actually do what it does, which is push the boundaries. That the boundary is no longer getting things into orbit. It is now going to Mars, going to the asteroids. And we can leave getting to orbit to smaller, way more cost-effective private companies.
Cheap.
Yes.
Some good news.
Actually, Elon wants to mine asteroids, too. And he wants to make that private.
They're doing a company.
That's right.
That's good luck with that. Bill Gates invest in that and others. And I think that's a great idea. They've got an asteroid in mind that has a ton of platinum. I think it is platinum.
Yeah.
Yeah. On it. That's pretty cool.
That's pretty cool.
We need that.
Fiasco.
We need it to build iPhones.
Fiasco.
Oh, yeah.
Why?
The mining an asteroid, it's crazy.
No, it's a great idea.
It's a great idea.
You don't think that'll happen?
No.
We got to get Jerry Pournelle on. He'll tell you. He'll talk you down. It's good stuff. What do you think? We did a special, which you can watch, by the way. It was fascinating before the show about with a guy who had done a great talk on Solve for X, the Google talks, about a genome compiler, and he's now shipping it. It's software that you then can take bits and pieces of different genomes and create a new genome. And then he brought a friend who's making a genome printer, basically a maker bot for genes that you would then inject in cells, and the cells would create the thing. Like, he wants to do a Kickstarter project for glowing trees. He says, it's easy. You take an oak tree, inject some glowworm DNA, boom!
Yeah, and it's like a 3D printer for a new genome.
Let's do it.
Pretty cool.
These guys, I'm sitting here, I'm thinking,
I liked it.
This is a revolution. We're sitting next to these guys could be changing everything in 10 years. The trees could be glowing.
You could have three arms.
What could possibly go wrong?
Yes.
Although that said, the same thing is true with private space, industry, with space, asteroid mining, print your own genome. A lot of things can go wrong. A lot of things will go wrong. A lot of things need to go wrong for us to go forward.
It's called evolution.
That's right. It's exactly what it's called.
Evolution.
Yeah. And by the way, we made a Twit special 126 if you want to see it. It was actually fascinating. Good news. ACTA Treaty may be on the way down. Now, we signed it in the U.S. President Obama signed it. This is that anti-counterfeiting treaty that has so many bad things in it, it's almost hard to list them all. But the European Union will be voting on it in July, and so far, three different parliament committees have rejected it. It has to get passed by every country in the European Union. The Industry Committee, the Civil Liberties Committee, and the Legal Affairs Committee all registered disapproval. It's not over yet, but the fat lady's warming up. It could be good news.
Okay.
Just thought I'd pass along. Well, we've talked a lot about ACTA and how bad it is.
It's a bad ACTA.
It's a bad ACTA. Maybe there's something good going here. Wi-Fi and cellular data will account for 60% of all internet traffic by the year 2016.
That's funny.
Not a surprise.
Wi-Fi, cellular, that's 60%. Netflix has something like 80% of all traffic. Facebook has 20%. We're already at 200%.
Some of that could be going over Wi-Fi or 3G, and that's all. It's just, you know.
And it has to, because the home connections are going to be not improve.
Right. That's right. That may be where the future lies. There are two new elements on the periodic table. I know you're excited about this. The International Union of Pure and Applied Chemistry. I love that. I want to join. They're man-made elements. They were synthesized in Dubna, Russia.
I'm skeptical.
No. So were the guys at Lawrence Livermore National Labs just down the street.
They
from
were
there.
Of course
there,
they'd
though.
Be skeptical.
And
they're the ones who confirmed it.
Well, one of them is called Livermorium or whatever it is then.
Livermorium, honoring Lawrence Livermore National
Labs. They did
tastes
that.
Really
they
bad.
Did that to get to approve it.
And
it's like the Leo Laporte Award.
Fluorovium.
You'd give if I started the Leo Laporte Award.
I would approve that.
You would.
I'm Leo Laporte, and I approve that message. Fluorovium. It'll be the symbol would be Fi.
The advantage of a Livermorium sandwich is that the element only lasts for like a nanosecond, and then it decays, and you don't have to eat it,
leaving 20 protons.
That's right.
Just lying around on the table, and your mother will say,
Mustardium.
Clean up the protons. Yeah, Mustardium. That's what we need. Science, as long as we're in the science department, has confirmed there is an old person's smell.
I can believe that.
Come closer to the table,
not
people.
Taking enough showers.
It. That's right.
I smell it right now.
Yeah, it's very funny.
The back channel was.
It's your upper lip.
Periodic
table. Go on.
Researchers have confirmed the first time that older people have a recognizable body odor that cannot be fully explained by grooming, diet,
or science is in.
Science is
the
in.
Science is in. And you're so lucky that I'm not there, I guess.
We're all old people except for Rafe, who's
old.
Going to be soon.
Very old.
It's getting older by the minute on this show.
Old by association.
Well, that's what Facebook says. They look at the ads.
Apparently, young people are able to just sniffing.
Well, they can hear a lot of weird stuff, these young people.
These young people. I hear they hear tones we can't.
That's what I understand.
And they can smell us coming a mile away.
Just like dogs.
Just like dogs. I knew I didn't like young people. All federal agencies must have an API.
What?
Decrees the president.
He doesn't know what an API is.
Executive order 13,571 requires executive departments and agencies to identify ways to use innovative technology to streamline delivery of services, lower costs, increase delivery service time, and improve the customer experience. Barack Obama has directed federal agencies to deploy web APIs.
Why?
Open government, baby.
Deploy the APIs. I mean, it must mean something different.
So they'll be useful directly.
He doesn't say if their data has to be like.
Well, I think it is about. Clean. I think it is about open government.
It's about it's about what they call smart disclosure.
Get ready. Here is the federal API.
This one is. The trick
list.
Is in the implementation on this one, obviously. But it is really cool if all these government agencies, which are taking our money. And money nobody has, and to collect data, which is what they all do. They do these surveys and collect all this data. If we could then get that data, well, we wouldn't need Wolfram Alpha,
I agree.
Would we?
No.
We just don't get it.
This is a list from APIevangelist.com. He has put checkboxes next to all of the agencies that have a digital strategy and X's next to all the agencies that do not.
It looks like more X's than anything.
I'm looking for a checkbox.
I don't see any.
Don't see a checkbox. The Department of Agriculture has a digital strategy. Yep. Two of them.
Yeah, they're trying
three
to
of them.
Monitor all the cow poop.
It's all the Department of Agriculture. So that's Commerce. Commerce has a digital strategy. Several. Still Commerce. The Department of Defense at mypay.gov.
MyPay.gov.
There's a digital strategy there.
See
you can
MyPay.gov is.
Go to MyPay.gov. You can find out what your pay grade is, apparently.
That's cool. We need a digital strategy for this?
Yeah. HealthFinder.gov has a digital strategy. Anyway, it's not looking good.
MyPay.gov.
The president's going to have to work hard.
He's going to have to get his hands there and do some coding. They need a hackathon at the White House.
That's a good idea, actually. And
that is a good idea.
MyPay.
Yeah, MyPay.com. Has your email address. This is how you get your money from
It redirects to mypay.dfast.mil.
I got to tell you, that is such an up-to-date. I wonder if that's responsive design in that site. That looks so up-to-date. And I particularly like the clip art stolen from Facebook in the upper right-hand corner. Doesn't that not look like the original Facebook page? I'm surprised to say a Mark Zuckerberg production at the bottom.
It does look like it.
Cell phone plans, according to Randall. I love Randall Stephenson, the CEO of AT&T. He's just become a card. He's a card. Cell phone plans could be data only in as short as 2 years.
Yep. Wow. Some anyway, right?
Yeah.
Hmm. So you could get a phone with no voice minutes on it.
Right.
That I have one. It's called my old iPhone 3.
I think a lot of people want that.
Just uses my Wi-Fi.
I think kids rarely make calls anymore. They text each other. It'd be all you need.
They're not even Facebooking. We have a no Facebook phone pretty soon, too.
Yeah, we may
that
have.
That would be an innovation. A phone with no Facebook.
I agree with that.
3 gigs, you know, it's good for 3 gigs and you throw it away.
Oh, wow. A burner phone that's data only. John would use that.
Well, yep.
Finally, might want to tune in. I don't know how Tom missed this in his week ahead, but Venus is going
to... Well, he's right back there. Ask him.
Tom, did you know that Venus is going to transit the sun on Tuesday?
No, Neil. I didn't know that.
It's been 100 years since it happened, and it won't happen again for another 105. Just
so everybody make sure Tuesday night to stare into the sun at about 6 p.m.
Exactly.
And look for a little black dot that is not your eyeballs frying.
It's not what we call a total eclipse. It's a dot. It's a small little dot.
When a 747 flies across the sun, it's better entertainment.
I know.
Venus will fail to eclipse the sun.
That's it. That's the headline. Venus fails to eclipse sun. We'll try again in 100 years. Doc Searles, so nice to talk to you again. I'd love to get you back more often. Doc's new book. You know what we want to do is set up an interview just with you for our Triangulation show.
Yeah, we're going to try and do that.
Because I think it's a very interesting the intention economy.
Yep,
is a really interesting idea, and it's kind of the logical next step after Clute Train. When customers take charge, it's about time. Probably one of the best books about what's happening in the digital world and the economy. On Amazon right now.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yep. Thank you so much for being here.
With a price that changes daily. There it is.
is it? Does it?
And depending on what browser you're using, what are you getting for a Kindle?
$16.20. A Kindle version is $12.99.
That's okay. So the Kindle price has been all over the map. It's kind of interesting. You use three different browsers.
Is that your publisher or is that Amazon?
No. It's entirely Amazon.
So are they trying?
I think they were trying something. And actually, the Kindle edition was as much as $21 for a while on one of my browsers.
Yeah. That's ridiculous.
Yeah. But now $12.99 is...
That's a good price. That's less than the hardcover.
Yeah.
Not much, but it's a little less.
Yeah.
They're selling it for $16.20, which is a good deal. I mean, that for...
Yeah, it is. Yeah. But by the way, I'm buying it, actually, because I'm run out. And that's the cheapest place
cheapest
to buy.
Cheapest place to buy.
Amazon has a monopoly now. I just want you to... You know, it's worth
clear.
Saying this. There is no other bookstore. It's the only one that matters.
Still an independent bookstore in town. And it's like, why even go there? Because they have a few books.
I could just Barnes & Noble around the block from where I live. It's fine.
I don't know. You're going to pay full price for that book at Barnes & Noble.
Won't have everything. I mean, that's the problem. And they always say, well, I get it. We can get it for you in a few days. I said, I can have it tomorrow. I feel bad. I want to support the local bookstore.
You should.
I should.
Why don't you?
I'll just go buy books I don't really want.
There you go.
You should.
That's the point.
Support the authors.
Yeah. You got the money.
Do you have this in a Kindle? No. We can give you the Dead Tree edition. That's it. But I want it in a Kindle. Can you do a Nook? Rafe Needleman, you know, it's time. You haven't done a Reporters Roundtable in several weeks, and I've been missing it, so get to work.
I got some cool ones coming up.
Do you?
Yeah.
So, what do you mean? The guests are cool? The topics are cool?
Well, hopefully both. That makes for a good show when you have both an interesting topic and a good guest.
I could learn from you.
Huh. Yeah, that's the trick.
Here we had good guests and nothing to talk about. But we have four women in the audience.
That's a
personal victory.
It's a new high.
It's a new high. And when I say high, I mean high. And also, of course, on CNET, where you are editor at large.
News.com. I'm doing a lot of writing on mobile and Google and startups and stuff.
That's a good beat. That's the best beat.
They're fun. Yeah, it's a lot of good
very exciting stuff going on. John C. Dvorak is at Channel Dvorak, where he does No Agenda now twice weekly.
Yeah, we went to twice weekly, noagendashow.com, twice a week. And it's Thursdays and Sundays.
You do it Thursdays too now.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
Yeah, we started that just recently because of the demand.
Yeah, I demanded it.
Yeah.
You know, we had Adam on the other day. He was really good.
Yeah, that's what everyone says.
Yeah, he was very funny.
Yeah, he can be charming.
He whipped out his gun. That was exciting.
did he shoot the gun?
No. Next time I have him back, I want him to shoot.
Yes.
Yeah, because it shoots shotgun. It's a handgun that shoots shotgun
410,
shells.
I believe, yeah.
What? That's nuts.
Well, if you want to kill somebody, it's probably a good idea.
Well, you shouldn't use a handgun unless you want to kill somebody.
That's always been my motto.
That's my feeling about the matter. We do this show 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern time on Sunday afternoons. That'd be about 2200 UTC if you're outside of the United States. And we do thank all of you in the European Union for shooting down ACTA. Our president apparently could not do that. And if you missed the show live, well, you can always tune in after the fact at your convenience by just downloading the audio or video. It's available at twit.tv. Tom Merritt will be back, of course, every Monday through Friday. We have our own daily news hour. Soon moving to 10 a.m. Pacific time. I should give you a warning. That's going to happen July 2nd. But right now, still 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern. But we decided because Buzz Out Loud's gone, that's the old Buzz Out Loud time. We moved to the Buzz Out Loud times. They're not there. They're not using it. So
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. They canceled. They killed it.
I thought they were still doing that show.
No, Molly's moved on to something called Always On. Always On. In fact, half our staff went to join her. I'm not bitter.
Apparently not.
All right. Thank you all for joining us. We'll see you next time. Another twit is in the can.
Amazing.